that Esau was the devil and how we got here, like in the second Ezra's.
But you didn't congregate? You weren't
congregate? No, no. It was different then, too. Like, they were very selective who they let go to bishop's house.
Okay.
It's that time again.
I wasn't really invited to go to bishop's house until, like, I think after.
Yeah, la hora. You know, power hours. Ponle atención. Class is in session. Tune in for an hour, maybe more. That's a blessing. Learn from the captains and the leadership. Flee from religion, because some churches never teach them shit. Everything you learn for your benefit. Line upon line is a requisite. Never take a deficit. Yeah, that means you take a loss and you spray from the way. You get that understanding if you study every day. Apply what you learn and bless when you pray.
It's
one interpretation, man. It's saying what it says. Gabriel Tiempo. Esta para centro. Aprende del maestro con talento. La Biblia es el centro, usando a Israel como instrumento. No se pierdas en doctrina como viento. Estudia y ora y aplica. Tiempo para Dios, ven, hace una cita. Escritura dinamita, morenos y hispanos, israelita. Oye cómo explica, Israel unido en Cristo para la vida. Nunca se divida. Tune in, it's the power hour. Learn your family history, don't be a coward. Yeah, tune in, it's the power hour. I said learn your family history, don't be a coward.
There's one that I saw about, like, same challenge, walking. Did you see that one? It's like walking in public with semen on their face, bro. Yeah. I don't know where it was at. Like, I don't know what city it was. And it was like, she was literally walking at a store with fucking something. Yeah. It was
Shalom, shalom. Welcome to the Power Hour Plus. I am Deacon Yahshua.
Officer Shia.
Officer Tobias.
Welcome to the... We're here having our small talk before the show.
If y'all wouldn't know.
Oh, my goodness. I know. They just walked into that one. I'm there. Lotion.
If they only knew.
If they only knew.
I know, they were listening in the booth like, damn.
Like, wow.
Bro, I can't believe, I don't want to give that credit that's a real thing unless it's like...
Let me find it, bro. I saw it on Facebook. No, I saw it on like Facebook or TikTok. Because
now instead of hearing Shalom, they heard Lotion.
This guy, it was him.
My bad, y'all.
So we were just talking about like just a variety of things prior to the, you know, what the intro music's going on. And Officer Shia says, hey, man, it's wild out there. They're talking about a face nut challenge. I said, what the hell? And, you know, try not to let my mind go to the worst place right away.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently, I guess, like, he's saying that it's like a thing that they're trying to trend where sisters will walk around with semen on their face in public.
Yes.
Who raised you?
I saw that thing on Facebook. I was like, are you...
Unless it's just the weird videos you watch on Instagram and that's your algorithms or TikTok. Like, that's the weird stuff that shows up for you.
Jesus Christ!
Man, I can't believe that dude married that...
It was an Edomite, right?
He said his angel.
Right.
No, it wasn't an Edomite.
Damn, they want me to go on biblical smoke.
They don't want the smoke.
You know what? I don't go on biblical smoke for two reasons. One, I heard it's very addictive, right?
Can be.
I heard people like are up to like all hours of the night on that thing.
That's Captain Yadin.
Yadin.
Yeah.
Deacon ASAP be going in.
Yeah. Well, he's a night owl.
Yeah.
He works late too. So, and as a result, I'm afraid that it'll like affect my sleep. Like I've gotten a handle over the last like 4 years. On, like, my rhythm.
Mm.
You know, everybody has, like, a circadian rhythm. I think we'll talk about that, too, when we do... I think when we do the show on, like, the men's hygiene and different health things, we'll talk about little things, like, things that are easy for you to make changes in. Like,
right.
I've been thinking about it and how we'll discuss it and things like that. And one of the things that you have the most control over that'll have such a profound impact on your health over time, it's not going to be like an immediate result, is getting a handle on your sleep and your sleep and wake times.
Right.
And having some consistency in that. And, you know, you read a lot about it. I even think I had I probably just never got around to reading it. I used to, you know, my thing with reading, I don't want to digress too much, is that if I feel like I read too much other books, like I feel like I need to be reading more.
You mentioned that before, right?
Because there's still so much that I don't know in the Bible, you know, and like there's still so much that I can discover in these scriptures. And I feel kind of guilty because I used to be like an avid reader. Like I was, I would hang out at Barnes and Nobles. I remember as a kid going to the library and just, because, you know, we didn't have the internet. So
right.
I was there at the library hanging out and looking at stuff. But anyway, I think sleep is one of the things that you can work on and make a big difference in your heart health. So like cholesterol, high blood pressure, you know, all types of stressors. And then you'll feel it more as you get older. Maybe when you're younger, you feel like you're resilient to it, but it affects you more. You can kind of rebound better, but it really does kind of impact you in such a positive way. And the Most High made us with like a certain rhythm in our body.
Right.
Like, you know, like with the way he has. And I guess when we talk about that, I'll talk about like kind of how the sun impacts us and the moon even itself,
right,
and things like that. Which would make sense when you figure how he made all creation and all of that. And, you know, because one of the things, the sun nourishes us,
mm-hmm,
right? So without getting too much into it, but it's not just with vitamin D in your skin either.
Right.
All right. So there's a lot that goes into it. But I say that to say all that, my long answer to tell you, I'm afraid it'll disrupt my whole flow. And like I used to be the five, someone said 5 hours a day. I used to be the five-hour day guy. And I thought I was okay, but this thing, I'm telling you, 5 hours is not sufficient.
Of sleep?
It's not. Consistently? No, you can maybe get away with that for a day or two, but there's a serious thing called sleep debt, and it has a cumulative effect on your health and well-being. And I'm not saying you got to be sleeping for 10 and 12 hours. It really depends on the stress and demand of your day, too, and how things went.
Mm-hmm.
But it really should be somewhere more in the neighborhood of like 7 to 8 hours is what you get consistently.
Right.
But what's even just as important is the times you go and the times you wake up.
Mm.
I've learned over the years, waking up earlier, you're more productive.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a 5 a.m. guy. You know, you have some people that tell you 5 a.m. That's just an arbitrary number. I hated 5 a.m. when I was in basic training. Like, that was the worst part of the day for me, 5 a.m. I can be a 6 a.m. guy, you know. But as opposed to, I used to be like a 10 a.m. guy, you know,
right.
And when I was younger hanging out, I used to wake up at 11, 12, you know, coming in like at 4 or 5 in the morning. It took about years ago. But when you go and the time you go as well. So there's a lot that goes into those things. And I just think it goes into youth, a lot of misinformation that we have about health and well-being. Even now, I think there's too much information that just anybody puts themselves out there to be an expert.
Right.
Like, I've made the joke before. I'm like, you know, you'll see a meme and, you know, it'll say take 2 tablespoons of peanut butter and shove it up your behind and, you know, to help you lose weight and detox. And people will do it. People will try it with, like, no.
Right.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, with
questioning.
No questioning it, right?
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
Wondering where it comes from. You know, they'll take what's called anecdotal evidence where, well, I know that it did this for me and I have a friend that it did this for them versus kind of more nuanced information.
Yeah.
So, but that's the long way and also kind of previewing a little bit. I guess I can add that into when we go into the things that you could control, because sleep's an easy one.
Right.
You know, like people want to start exercising and dieting, and while those all help improve your health markers, but if in some respects, if you're the five-hour day guy or gal, and you're exercising, now you're adding more load, right? And now you're not going to maximize the results that you can have. Even obesity to some extent can be related to lack of sleep. Just, you know, a lot of times you think heavy people and you think they might be lazy and just laying around all day,
right?
Sometimes those people don't sleep enough, and it'll impact you. It impacts your blood sugar. It impacts so many things. But very heavily, blood pressure and cholesterol, it's not the only factor, but it exasperates those type of issues if you're not getting sufficient rest.
Mm. Damn. That, I'm the
I'm a better me when I have some consistency in my sleep cycles.
Mm.
Yeah, I need to be too, because my mind has to stay sharp. Because, you know, physically you could push through if you're not feeling great.
Right.
You know, you can take some caffeine and stuff. You can power through some stuff. But
it's the vigilance.
When your mind is not sharp,
mm-hmm,
and a lot of things that I have to handle in many areas of my life, not just with the congregations and everything like that, I got to keep my mind sharp.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a big drinker. I was when I was younger. That's another thing. Limiting,
yeah, for sure.
Not eliminating, but limiting alcohol consumption goes a long way for your health as well. So, you know, usually what happens is people that have those 4 or 5 hour habits, they have other habits like cofactors that go with it that, that impact them negatively.
The thing that be killing me is energy drinks, dude.
Yeah.
So
well, and those can have a negative effect when you rely on them too much. They're great in the short term.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not against any of those type of things.
Yeah.
They're great in the short term, but they have a
your body starts to get used to them.
Yeah. Well, So they have a limiting effect because your body adjusts to them.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's easy enough. Just don't take them for a couple of weeks and you'll feel the kick again when you take those things. But, you know, I've mentioned to some brothers, like, there's some natural supplements of, like, they call them nootropics that kind of help you focus. Limitless. You think, like, Limitless?
Right. And you got the magic pill.
Yeah, it's not like the Limitless pill, but they do help. Like, I noticed there, like, I've had brothers that have come to me and they talk about, you know, as they've gotten older, they have, like, brain fog and stuff. And, you know, there's certain, they call them nootropics,
N-O-O-tropics.
Yeah. And they kind of help, like, down-regulate or up-regulate certain things. So they're not drugs. They're, like, they come from plants. Like, they're extracts from plants, like, in Africa. Mm-hmm. Like, one of them, I take is Rhodiola extract, and it comes from, like, a flower in Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, it helps reduce your stress levels, your cortisol levels, which is another thing that has so much hard effect on the body.
Mm-hmm.
And I do feel like a little sense of more focus and things like that when I take it. I took a couple before the show because I was feeling a little brain foggy. So, you know, and
you got to post links in the health and fitness.
Yeah. Well, I'll talk about, you know what? I should put some of that stuff in there because I do post some things that I take.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a lot of it's just been trial and error over the years on those things with myself. And, you know, I mean, the foundation, you know why I'm hesitant to post like things like supplements? Because a lot of people have the mentality that they're not going to fix all the other things.
Mm-hmm.
And those things are like a Band-Aid if they're even effective when you do that stuff. So I don't like to share. Like, look, I'm not the model of health. I could probably lose another 15 pounds, you know. But, I mean, I tend to believe I have kind of, you know, pretty decent habits. I have a pretty disciplined way in how I run my days and things like that. So, and I know it's been beneficial for me, so I could see some things having impact. So I'm hesitant to post like supplements and things like that because while I do use them, I don't rely heavily on them.
Right.
I've actually, like, I can see through a lot of the BS with a lot of that stuff. So I don't run and buy like every little thing. You know, diet and sleep are kind of like the two things. And the one that's easier to really adjust is your sleep, is the point that I'm making. See, he led me on this path just by asking about biblical smoke. But because my mind's been thinking about maybe when we trail off from this, we can go into what we spoke about with like the male hygiene. I was thinking about bringing some of the products, you know, that I use.
Right.
And, but, you know, people can look at those. These are like little things, you know, that can kind of help put you in a frame of being more focused on yourself, which kind of ties into what we're going to talk about today. Because, so, you know, while we ended off last week talking about things to look for in others, it's also self-reflection, right? So when I'm talking about things you should look for in a spouse, right? So it's also a moment for you to look, wait, do I have these things? Right. You know? And then for those that are married, I've been seeing in the comments, some people are like, well, hey, even married, like, this stuff is like great information for me to kind of improve myself. And it really is. So I was just kind of thinking about those things. And there's ways that, you know, that goes into like loving yourself, show that you care about yourself.
Right, yes.
Things like that. So you want to be able to do that. As a matter of fact, I might post it. My wife sent me something, like a little clip. And, you know, the guy was talking about, like, when you're married, like, you know, with women, a lot of the times, like, when you want to have relations, like, as a man, you know, you just come home, you put your crusty feet on her, and you're like, yo, let's go.
Right.
You know, and she got to render, you know, that's your husband, you still roll that way. But he said, you know, but you should kind of maybe be revving her engines all day, you know, like, hey, you know, have a good morning, you know, so on and so forth. Like, it starts with, like, your conversation. You know, you got
the intimacy you were talking about a couple shows ago.
And some of the stuff that I'm talking about, because it's intimacy, not just sex.
Right.
And listen, in a perfect world, it might not always be like, hey, let's just get it on. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, you know, but, you know, there's exceptions to a lot of things, but what your norm should be, what the basis of your stuff should be. It's like, because, like, I know brothers who, like, you know, they don't want to wash their balls, right? Mm. And they're like, you know, the wife's like, yo, I want to wash my,
hell,
you know, can you wash your balls before we do something?
Right.
And he's like, nah, man, just, you know. right? And listen, you know, you get technical, right? Like, yeah, you know, she's going to render. She's supposed to render. But are you going to have the intimacy that
right.
you want? You know, make yourself smell nice for her. You
it's
know what I'm saying?
Be the same.
Yeah, you know, like, you know, put a little lotion on. Mm-hmm. Little, you know, listen, the beard oils go a long way. I think it's like a subtle way that especially if you have a routine around it. You know, that you put a little nighttime oil on, you smell nice. Even if you're not planning to do nothing, you know, it might just kind of,
right.
you know,
happen.
Arouse the senses.
Yeah, you know. Yeah, you know, men have a distinct scent that goes into that otherness, the complementary that we are for each other.
Right.
Like, because, you know, listen, we always going to bang on the sisters because the scripture tells us that, right? And because the slave master goes harder at the sisters than he does at the men, right? He kind of beats the men down. And with the sisters, he manipulates them psychologically.
The
he manipulates
mind.
Their mind.
Right.
So we have to hit back in that same aggressive manner mm-hmm. when we're going at the sisters that way. But a lot of times we get on the sisters and we talk about, you know, don't just be with the mask all the time.
Right.
You know, just throwing on whatever rags and things like that, yeah. you know, when you go to bed and stuff like that. Those things are kind of libido killers. Those things are kind of intimacy killers and stuff like that. You know, listen, occasionally, you know, I understand the women, you know, hey, nah, you know, I want to do this thing for my pores or whatever, you know. Mm-hmm. That's fine, man. But, like, you know, like on the regular, you're looking like Aunt Jemima.
Right.
It's like, come on, right. you know. Like, work right. Stop it. Get some help. Brothers, you can step things up a little bit. You know what I'm saying? And, I mean, you know how you used to do when you was trying to woo somebody.
Right.
Right? But the reason you can't keep it up is because it was all a farce.
It was a show.
It was a show. Mm-hmm. It's not really who you are.
Right.
So, you know, you want to be able to build yourself to a point where...
Sister said,
you know?
Married sisters want sweet smelling balls.
We're going to talk about balls. We're going to talk... There's a lot of things you could do for your balls. You know, we gotta talk about that. No, we got I think we should advertise it a little bit, promote it a little bit when we go into it. So a lot of brothers, you know, and hey, sisters, you might, you know, you'll tune in. You might see some of these products. You might want to get some for your husband to try
right.
this stuff out.
Right.
You know,
right.
I mean, you know, there's a way. We'll talk about the way you can introduce it to him so he's not offended and things like that. You know, we'll give you our perspective. You know. Like, I'm a little different, you're a little different. So we could talk about maybe how you would like your, like, if your wife wanted to give you something for your balls, for example, like, you could tell us what would be the proper approach, right? Like, if she came to you and was like, hey, you know, I got this thing. You
right.
know, don't just be like, here, put this on your balls. Look.
Hey,
right,
hey,
right.
Purim is coming up, sisters.
But say that again? I can't hear you.
I said Purim is coming up.
Right.
Hey, hang on a second. We were talking about that. We were talking about us, not us. We were talking about the men in the bathroom.
Right.
And before the show, and before you got here, Deacon, and how the sisters have it hooked up in their bathroom. They got their lotions. They got their perfume.
Uh-huh.
They got their all their stuff to take care of themselves. Yeah. And then I tell them, like, aren't we the sons of God? We're supposed to be the sons of God in our bathrooms all blank.
Listen,
I said, and
our forefathers put oils on them. They knew how to deal with certain herbs that gave them certain manly smells. Like that, like there's like bergamot is like a nice strong smell for men. Like if you don't want to get into, because cologne's not always appropriate, especially not before bed.
Right.
But they have nice lotions, and that's why I say the oil to me is perfect because I'm not always trying to put perfumey stuff on me. Right, that can come off a little strong, but I mean, I don't know if the one we have has bergamot in it. I think the for example, the beard oil that we're selling on OR, bergamot's one of the essential oils that we put in it. So, you know, you deal with those type of things where it's not a cover-up scent, but that it also has some effects, too, on the senses and things like that, you know?
And not every
scent goes good with every – like, everybody has their own skin chemistry.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes you might like the way something smells. And you try it on, and it don't work for you.
Same effect.
It's not the same effect.
Right.
Mm-hmm. 'Cause like when it hits the skin, it'll smell different. And stuff. You know, and that's a little only way you know that is like trial and error. But yeah, I got my little stuff over there. I never used to do nothing, bro. I was just like I had hair gel, and that was it. You know what I'm saying? Like you know, a little hair mousse or whatever I put in my hair, and that was it. But it's just I'm like, okay, all right. You know, yeah, you know, you get the roughest ivory soap or whatever. You know what I'm saying? But there's things you can use. There's things you can get and do and. You know, kind of, you know, level things out. You know,
right.
Take care of the balls, brother.
But
IUIC
Phoenix,
don't bring sweaty, salty balls to the bedroom. All
right, right. IUIC Phoenix brothers and sisters, share some love for the brothers and sisters for the brothers bathroom
We're about to get that thing hooked up, right, Tobias?
Oh,
you want to put a little valet in there? Like
Try to get some lotion.
Yeah, but don't be the smelly brother that don't wash his clothes don't wash your ass.
We just said that.
And then you're just going to smell like ass and cologne.
Right.
If we put that stuff in the bathroom,
I brought up toothpaste and like temporary brushes. I'm like, you don't want to be that guy that we got to pay to go to the bathroom.
I said mouthwashes, you know, bro.
Hey, no, and I'm telling you, no. Listen,
and then
let me tell you something about the teeth. Now I'm going to put on my hygiene hat. We haven't even really got, I mean, this is all still kind of relevant because you might have brothers that's trying to prove.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And don't do it to put on a show, brothers. Some of you brothers need to build these habits.
Right.
Right. And this goes into kind of, we'll read that in Timothy's in a little bit about being thoroughly furnished. Is it 2 Timothy 3?
That's all good works.
Right. Yeah. And there's a lot that goes into that. Primarily it's talking about the scriptures. Right. But, you know, a lot of you brothers who are single and brothers who are married, you can add a little oomph in the relationship. See, now, if you got a crazy wife, you start doing this, she's going to think, like, you know, there might be somebody else.
Who you cheating on me with?
Right,
right. Yeah.
Because for so long, I was like that, like, listen, okay, I know my wife is listening. She don't like when I say these things, but I'm going to say them anyway. Bro, for the longest time, I wouldn't put on cologne or, like, wear any of my nice clothes because she would, like, be like, where you going?
Dog shit.
Like, what the hell? So I'm like, damn. So, I would be there, like, kind of like, damn, man, do I want to hear it today? Do I want to wear the button down? Do I want to wear the polo?
Why are you trying to lose weight?
Right. Why are you trying to lose weight?
Right.
Who are
you trying to impress?
I know. My wife don't want me to lose too much of my belly, though. She said, like, you know. Like, there was
keep
one point. Yeah, there was one point where it was like, you know, she was like, oh, no, that's a little, you know.
Right.
Feed me.
That's funny.
Feed me. But, you know, you single brothers, some of this stuff, you want to kind of build these as habits and you can apply this type of stuff. And, you know, so I'm not saying, you know, try to mask it up. But, like, I think all of it builds, like, a thing of self-love, like caring for yourself.
Right.
And I'm not saying get all, what was the term they used? Metrosexual. That was the term they used years ago.
Right.
You know, and but, you know, you can take care of yourself in a manly way. Like I said, our forefathers used different oils and things like that. You know, the scriptures talk about don't be like Meshibobeth. You know, there's certain occasions that you have to come and you dress a certain way and things like that. You know, don't come with a raggedy T-shirt.
Right.
And listen, you can make a T-shirt look nice. I think I make a T-shirt look decent, you know, as long as it's not bummy and holes. I like wearing T-shirts and jeans and shorts and stuff like that on the regular, you know. Just, you know, they have nice T-shirts now, you know, and not expensive. You get a nice, decent tee for like $12, $15. You know what I'm saying? Just take care of it, you know, fringe it up nice and you'd be good to go, right? Yeah, and then, you know, you step up, you know, polos one step, you know, button down next.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I could layer a T-shirt with a little cardigan sweater with sneakers and jeans, and it just changes the whole dynamic.
You look official.
You looking official, you know what I'm saying? So brothers got to learn these type of things and stuff like that. And, you know, not just necessarily when you're single, but, you know, you carry that over into
the marriage
as well, you know, look respectable, you know.
Hey, brothers, they sleep on what they can buy at Target.
My wife chimed in. She said, I repented.
<I'll praise her. laughs>
Yeah, she said, I'm tired. You just smelling regular. Can you put some stuff on?
Hey, I'll praise her.
Can you dress nice?
Right.
You're wearing the same outfit again. She said she repented. That's funny. Oh, someone said, what was the thing for the brain fog? It's called Rhodelia extract. I can't type. And, like, the other one's mucina pure. I never spell it right.
Wait, what? What?
I'm going to look it up.
Rhodelia
extract.
Yeah, is that it on the screen right there, Deke?
That one?
Yeah, that's actually, that's the brand I use, too, because
which one? The
double wood, Rhodelia rosea extract. Yeah, because they if they use any capsules, they're bovine gelatin. Nothing is pork. And then the other one is like mucina purines or something like that. That's the other one I use. Energy, performance, endurance. But it's not like coffee. It doesn't hit you like a stimulant. It's more like a clean type of thing. And then the other one, I don't know how you – let me see how you spell it. Mucunarurines. Yeah, that's it. You can appear velvet bean. That's the plant that it comes from. And it's like an extract from that. And I use the double wood brand for that one, too. They usually come with, like, a certification. They're lab tested.
Go down there. Go down.
So you know you're getting. They sell them on Amazon.
Yeah, right there. Yeah, right there.
Yeah.
Full screen that.
Yep. Those you could take two. right? So you get L-Dopa from Velvet Bean, mood, motivation, says it helps with stress, cortisol levels, things like that. And I take them as needed. I don't take it daily, you know? Like, I like them before the gym, or, like, if I'm going to do a class or
like,
show.
Like focus?
Yeah. Okay. I think it kind of just kind of... Like I said, it's not like limitless. Don't think you're going to take it and you're going to like freaking
in
remember Kung Fu or whatever.
Right.
I just think it kind of helps maybe filter out the noise a little bit. I don't know. I feel like it really.
What do you think about ashwagandha?
It has its place. It depends. It has benefits. The things like ashwagandha, you got to take consistently to feel the benefits. This you can take as needed and it'll last for a few hours.
Mm.
So, you know, and since you take as needed and not necessarily you know, daily, you don't really build up the tolerance to it.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So, I mean, ashwagandha, you wouldn't. It's not really a stimulant. So, but ashwagandha is great. It has a lot of good benefits. It's supposed to help with mental clarity as well, I think.
Right.
They say it helps with testosterone, but you know what else helps with your testosterone levels? Getting good sleep, eating right, losing some weight. That'll do far more than any pill that you could pop to kind of optimize yourself. As far as that, I know people think testosterone, they think they're going to get like Ronnie Coleman or, you know, something like that. But, you know, yep. But, yeah, you know, those are the different things, right? Oh, people's liking the thing. The sisters was supporting the fact that I called out brothers on the
sweaty
balls.
Balls.
On the sweaty
balls.
Yeah,
they're ready for the middle class.
Sisters just don't know.
Yo, what you said, soldier?
Sisters just don't know. Leadership gets on the brothers.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, it's just we do that behind closed doors because
right.
We're not trying to emasculate the men. You know, we got to show them that, you know, they want to be about fixing themselves up and stuff like that. Get me what I told you in Timothy's, because this all goes into, you know, when you think about this, this firstly deals with building yourself in the scriptures the right way, right? Like we read and show thyself a man and so on and so forth. It starts with that. But then with that, there needs to be a level of discipline that gets built in you, right?
Mm-hmm.
Discipline will keep you moving in the right direction once motivation has faded.
Right.
You know, I hear that question a lot from brothers.
Right.
You know, how do you stay motivated? How do you stay? I don't. I lose motivation a lot, you know? The world is polluted. Your wife stress you, your kids stress you, your job stress you, Israel stress you, depending on where you at as far as leadership and things like that. But discipline will keep you moving forward no matter what, right?
Yeah.
And that discipline is fostered and birthed through your devotion to whatever it is. So, you know, you be devoted to yourself and your own self-improvement. You know, I mean, if you really think about it, Christ said, be ye perfect, right? Let's get that first really quick, and then we'll come back to what we're going to say in Timothy's, right? Come on. Brush your teeth. Oh, I'm glad you posted that, Zion, because I got to talk about the brush your teeth. I'm going to give an example with the brush your teeth, all right?
The book of Matthew, chapter 5, verse 48. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect.
And get me the one in Kings. Is it Kings about show thyself a man?
Yes,
all right.
Sir.
So your perfection, your process of perfection starts with when you first acknowledge that you've been lied to, that everything you know is incorrect and inaccurate, and you begin your walk in repentance. You've opened the door perfection.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we'll never be perfect in this life,
but
you move towards that perfection the whole time.
Right.
And you're going to protect yourself from the pollutions of this world, right? So your perfection starts, right, with repentance. And repentance is a continual thing. It's not a one and done. It's not a complacency that you get into this, right? And it's done. And this still ties into self-improvement and the red flags because we're talking about men here. But in this regard, some of this is equally applicable to our sisters as
right,
well,
right?
Right. So go ahead, read what we got in Kings, and then we'll go to Timothy's. Come
the
on.
Book of 1 Kings, chapter 2 and verse 2.
Freedom!
I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man.
Right, and strong, a lot of times we think strong, and we think, you know, how much you could bench, you know, how tough are you,
right?
Right,
right.
No, you have to be strong to resist the wiles of the devil, right? Satan, like a roaring lion is looking who he can devour, right? So you have to be strong to resist the pollutions that's in this earth, right? Come on.
And keep the charge of the Lord thy God.
Right. He says, so you show yourself a man. He didn't say talk about being a man.
Mm,
he didn't say look like a man. He says show, meaning there's actions that you will do. There will be a display. Remember, I spoke about be, do, then have, right?
Yeah.
You'll get the results, right? So you have to open that up first where you change your mindset, and it's not something you do for a period of time. This goes back to what I was saying about how when you work on improving yourself, brothers, that improvement should be authentic. And sisters too, because how many sisters, when they know that they're trying to prove somebody, will get aggressive with their weight loss, they'll start looking a certain way.
Motivation.
Right? But the motivation fades because
right.
what'll happen is once they get married and the honeymoon phase is over, it's a wrap.
Mm.
Goes back to the Creflo questions when he said, you know, you playing like being that all your life, you
right.
know?
Right.
You playing like, you playing on getting fat, right? All that stuff like that, right? So, I'm getting messages as it comes in. Officer Yosef, man, come on. He know I'm on the show at this time. He's sending me messages now. And he sends them to Telegram and the damn text. I hate when people double message me.
Shout out, Officer Yosef.
Some people triple message me.
Right, you got to see this.
They'll email me. I tell you, email me. They'll email. They'll Telegram. Be like, bro, that actually annoys me, and I ignore you on purpose. Like, if I tell you to email me for certain things to email me,
right.
like, email me. Like, you feel like you're going to get a quicker or a better response, you know? Like, I get it. A lot of people want my attention, right? Or they need it for whatever purposes. But
just start doing that to him because it's hard to get me like, yo, he don't answer.
Oh, my goodness. Nah, don't do that, boy. You're going to be pissed off. I ain't going to talk to you. I'm going to ignore you on purpose.
I'll start doing that to him.
So you show yourself, but it starts in your mind. And sisters, this is the same thing for you as well. So a lot of times sisters will start to, you know, because they know they want to prepare themselves for proving, but that's not you. You haven't changed yourself.
Right.
So what you think that you're not being deceptive, and because there might not be malice behind what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Right. The absence of malice does not absolve you from deception.
Mm.
Because what that is just that's female game.
Mm.
That's the game that you played in the world. You know how you did in the world.
Right,
oh, yeah.
Right.
You know the exorbitant attention you would give these sisters, the gift buying, right? I was talking about it last week, you know, the flowers and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And you know damn well you're not going to stay doing those things.
Right. It's just to achieve a goal.
It's just to achieve a goal, right? Mm-hmm. It's the freaking birds of paradise, you know, doing the mating dance. You know
right.
what I'm saying? Like,
right.
that's all it is.
Mm.
And then once the smash, you know,
look at them feathers.
Right? But sisters do that thing too, bro.
Right, right.
Sisters do that thing too, and I see it.
Mm.
And then brothers fall for it. Like, we gotta stop, right? That's part of showing yourself like a man, right? Come on.
And keep the charge of the Lord thy God.
And the charge of the Lord thy God, right?
It says keep it.
Right?
Keep it.
What are we charged to do? What are we charged to do? He says we got to stand up manfully.
Mm-hmm.
Who will stand up against the evildoers for me?
Mm-hmm.
Right? It says the Most High God have not given us the spirit of fear, but of a sound mind.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So we have to maintain God's cause in the earth because the scripture says, except there be a remnant, we'd all be as Sodom and Gomorrah.
Right.
So our charge has many directives under it. But it's to be that light that shines in this dark place for our people, all right? And that goes for sisters as well.
The charge of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses.
Right, because it says that these judgments, these statutes, this is our wisdom in the sight of the nations. You read
mm-hmm.
that in Deuteronomy, right? So this is, a lot of times, now that's really going into when we're in the kingdom, right? Because as you keep reading on, it talks about they're going to look at us and say, this is a wise and understanding people. They don't do that now, clearly.
Right, right.
But you still, remember, there's double in scriptures. You still, in the sight of our nation, because when you read, when it talks about rehearse the righteous acts,
right?
It's that saying the same thing, like what we're reading here.
Mm-hmm.
So in the sight of the nations, right, is where we're supposed to apply these things and
right.
live that way. But I think there's some subtleties that go with it that, you know, I think a lot of times maybe us as leaders, the time is so limited in what we present.
Mm.
So we have to really put forth the most effective topics, how the Spirit moves us and putting things out. And then, you know, the Spirit over time has moved us for things like this, where we have shows where I can take 3 or 4 weeks and go
right.
over some more of the smaller things,
mm-hmm.
right?
Get down to the granular.
Get granular, exactly.
Mm.
I think sometimes we forget to mention these things because we also fall into the thing of thinking that people are gonna get it,
mm-hmm.
but there's some more nuance to it.
Right.
Like, you know, just, and again, not that what we say, anything that's not scriptural, I will tell you that's just opinion. Like if I tell you get Castile soap, you don't got to get Castile soap. I don't want people running out there and say, I mean, who knows? You might have some skin thing and Castile soap ain't good for you and stuff like
right.
that, you know? So, you know, we'll talk about those things, but we're going to put a big disclaimer on it that, you know, you got to kind of try these things and see what works for you in this regard. What you really need to look at is the behavior behind you doing those things.
Right, right.
Right? We'll make recommendations. We'll show – because I see people in the stream talking about chlorophyll, this, that, and the other. And that's great. You have something that you saw and this and that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure – I mean, there's a multitude of things that have benefits, right?
Mm-hmm.
I know me in my experience, I've kind of streamlined those down because if not, you'll have a cabinet of vitamins and herbal supplements instead of prescribed medication.
And stop using half of it.
Right, and stop using half of it because it's overbearing. So what you want to do is kind of, you got to know yourself
mm-hmm.
and know what you kind of really need and what you want to focus on and how much can you achieve with things like sleep, exercise, you know, some consistency in your schedule and your life, right? Different methods of stress reduction, and then bring in those supplements that are beneficial to where you're at. Like there's things that there's like pro-hormone supplements that you could take, and people get scared when they hear hormone, but I mean it's things that you would, that they synthesize from food a lot of the times, that you find in food that you would need to eat a ridiculous amount of, right? Like there's DHEA for men. It's like the fuel tank for other hormones. So if your DHEA, you get sick, you're stressed, your body will pull from that to make cortisol and other hormones and things like that,
right?
And then now DHEA is not there for other things like your testosterone and hormones and stuff for well-being and stuff like that. And what will wind up happening is basically your tank is empty.
Gotcha.
And how do you refill that tank if you're not resting, if you don't have the other foundational things in place? So there's, you know, again, we'll talk about more of those. You know, I'm going to speak from the man's perspective of some of these things that I take and that helps out and so on and so forth. And, you know, I've said it before, I'm 45 going on 46. You know, I do feel older. I do think I look older, but I think in general, I don't think I look that old, and of course, obviously, you know, that's Israelite genes and things like that.
Right.
But there's also a way that I take care. I don't have a lot of vices. You know what I'm saying? I've worked to try to fix certain things about myself. And so I think it's the behavior change is the more important thing that you want to look at in that regard. What else we got on this?
The last part of it, but that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest and whithersoever thou turnest thyself.
Right. So that way you will prosper in whatever thou doest and wherever you are, meaning that change has to be meaningful.
Right.
And it starts with those commandments, but then it progresses from there. Get me? I said Timothy's, right?
Yes, sir.
Come on.
Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16.
Yeah.
All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness.
Right. And in righteousness, again, primarily we're dealing with those laws, statutes, and commandments, but behind that comes really changing who you are. Because, you know, you can dress up like a policeman, but are you a policeman?
Mm.
You can dress up like a doctor, but are you a doctor?
Right.
Right? No, but are you going to really deeply, inwardly, right, build yourself up into the fullness and the measure and the stature of Christ?
Mm.
Right? The inward man of the heart, like
right.
the scripture talks about, not the outward display. Yes, you have to show yourself outwardly, but don't let it be a masquerade. Affect some change in yourself, because what we really try to do is get others to change and conform to where we're at. And nobody should have to do that. And I'm not talking about repentance. That's a given. Nobody should have to conform to where you're at. You need to basically find a person that fits with you. And a lot of times in these proving things, you're looking to get somebody to conform to what you want. And then that's why those things don't work.
That's because you're trying to change somebody from who they are.
You're trying to change somebody from who they are.
Right.
And they'll tell you who they are.
Mm.
If you're really paying attention to it.
Right. So that's like even the picture you did on the main proven class when you had the two pieces, you try to force that piece that doesn't fit with you. Right.
Right.
So you try to take the piece that don't fit, and you're trying to get it to conform to you.
And then you're there. And then brothers were pointing out, I didn't talk about it in the thing, notice it's the woman leading the man.
Right.
I just saw a photo today. They got Rihanna with her husband and
the
kid.
Back.
And he in the back, you know, they were talking about it on the captain's group today. And, you know, she leading it there. And then you're like, you know, one day, you know, basically there was somebody for you.
Right.
I don't want this to be misconstrued, right, because we're Israelites. We're not looking at them saying, oh, he's with. This should show you is that there is somebody that fits you.
Right.
This is what I was going over when I did the Sabbath class. There is somebody that fits you, right? But if you didn't do it right, God still requires you to fulfill your commitment. So this is what you wind up with.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
But he's just letting you know that if you would have just waited, one day you'd have been walking down that street alone, right, and not caught up because you try to conform with somebody,
and then it would have fit,
and it would have fit, right? And it would have fit. Go ahead, read this the second verse of this again. Come on,
verse 17, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished.
Right. So remember, God said, "Be ye perfect." Right. The scripture says, "Show yourself a man." He says that the man of God may be perfect. Come on.
Thoroughly furnished.
And that thoroughly furnished is the part that I wanted to get to, because that's all these things that we were talking about. The little behaviors, the little, like, real meaningful change
right.
to make yourself better.
Right.
You will attract the spouse that, is it Sirach 26 and 1? Get it ready.
Virtuous wife.
Yeah, get it ready, but don't read it yet. I want to finish this. You will attract the spouse, man or woman, that you've built yourself to be. And this is why today I said self-improvement. We're going to go back to the red flags. I'm going to show you things to look for so you realize the type of people that you're speaking with and dealing with, but can't walk around expecting everybody to conform to you.
Right.
You have to work on yourself, build yourself up, chiefly in these laws, statutes, and commandments first, because it's a way of life, not as a cologne that you put on and fades,
right?
But inwardly, right? And then with that, don't just be the brother or sister that dresses up with the commandments, but has emptiness with them. Get me the one, is it in Jude where it talks about their clouds without water?
Yes, sir.
All right. Hold that too. We're going to go back to Sirach, okay? But get this in Jude, all right? You don't want to be this person because there's a lot of these in the body. There's a lot of these in Israel, right?
The book of Jude, chapter 1 and verse 12. These are spots in your feasts of charity, when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water.
Right, clouds they are without water. That goes into what I'm talking about, that inward person, right? Or that inner man of the heart, which is after Christ. That's how we model ourselves. Because it's not like we don't have an example, right? We have an example. And a lot of times we talk about Christ, and there's so much nuance in what we were left. Remember, the scripture tells us if they wrote everything that he did, They couldn't contain it in books, right? There's nuance to the type of man that he moved and walked. You think he walked around disheveled and jacked up?
Mm-mm.
No. I mean, listen, the sister went and was putting the oil in his hair and stuff like that.
Right.
And he wasn't like, yo, what you doing? Why are you trying to,
right?
You know? I mean, he knew, like, basically that this is something that was all right, you know? The washing the feet. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of times we look at that just as the act of service. I mean, he wasn't dirty. He said, wash your feet. We talk about wash your balls, but he said, wash your, you know, just take care of yourself, right, in that regard. But it talks about those clouds. Read that again.
Clouds they are without water.
Clouds they are without water, meaning there's nothing there. They look like they might have something inside of them, but there's nothing there. And a lot of brothers and sisters walk around that way. Come on.
Carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth.
Right.
Without fruit, twice dead.
Right, because it says what winds up happening is those clouds without water are carried about of winds, right? Meaning like a reed shaking in the wind. Every doctrine is going to come their way. There's no fruit. He says twice dead. Because why? There's no salvation for people who don't really affect that change inside of them, right? Who really go to that extent, right? And then people, it's funny because people are going to come on here and talk about, teach things that are more important. What do you want to know? That the end is coming? The end is coming. The end is coming and is near.
Keep the commandments.
What's more important than improving yourself and preparing? We're talking about be ye perfect.
Mm-hmm.
The scripture says, build ye houses, plant vineyards,
right,
leave an inheritance for your children and your children's children. And that's not important? Get the hell out of here, you freaking idiot. Unbelievable.
The last part of this verse is heavy.
Go ahead. Come on.
It says, plucked up by the roots.
Because
that's what you were the roots is what's under the ground. It's not even seen.
Yes,
you
right.
see the fruit withering. You see all of that going away. But
and what that goes into is in Mark 4 that you're on stony ground where
right.
the roots don't really take – because roots that really take good place, nobody's going to pull you away. You're full of substance.
Right.
And we're talking about this in the context of – proving for a spouse,
mm-hmm.
right, which is an which is a ridiculously important topic
mm-hmm.
because that's how we continue on as a people,
right,
through marriages and children.
Mm-hmm.
That's how the Most High has set up for us to regenerate so that your soul may come back if there's more time for that. What you got?
Can I get a script?
Go ahead. Bring it out.
Sirach 26 and 21. Officer Shah, Sirach 26 and verse 21. Because our children, marriage, right? We know the only time we have sex is through marriage. And what comes from sex is children so that our, like you said, our nation can continue.
Yep.
Go ahead and read.
26:21.
Yes, sir.
The book of Sirach, chapter 26, verse 21.
Yeah. Start at 20.
Verse 20. When thou hast gotten a fruitful possession
right.
through all the fields.
Read.
Sow it with thine own seed.
With our own seed. We have holy seed within Israel, right? Read.
Trusting in the goodness of thy stock.
Read.
So thy race, which thou leavest, shall be magnified.
And that's charity. That's thinking of others because it says, so thy race, which thou leavest. At some point, we're going to have to leave this earth. And we want to leave our race with something ahead of the game so that they can be magnified. Read.
We got to keep repeating the same damn mistakes if we don't teach things like this.
Right.
They want us to talk about deep sayings and dark shit.
Right.
But then let them whoamonger, let them deal with everything else.
That's that the Willie Lynch, the perpetual cycle.
Yep, that perpetual cycle that you want to, come on, man, go watch something else. Go be somewhere else. Go ahead, finish what you're bringing up.
Keep reading.
So thy race, which thou leavest, shall be magnified.
That's how we'll be magnified. It talks about the Lord is going to put us as that light that's set on the city set on a hill, a light that cannot be hid. We're going to be magnified, read.
Having the confidence of their good descent.
The good descent is coming from that seed, from the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Seed that took the time to develop our children to know how to bring in even better seed when they become parents.
Right, right. Give me Psalms 127 and 3, all right? And we're going on the same theme. This stuff like this is important because, remember, it says desire not a multitude of unruly children.
Right.
If we don't fix this important topic, that's going to be the result of it.
Right.
And when you have unruly and rebellious children, when we're gone, who knows how much more time the Most High, the time is short. We don't know how long that really is.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows how much time there is. When we're gone, what's the next generation going to do if we don't set that up right?
Hey, D, in what we brought out in 2 Timothy, it says the scripture, so for reproof, is getting yourself in order, cleaning yourself up, is that not a form of reproof?
Come on, man. These dudes just freaking bug the hell out. Those are the ones that don't. You know why? Hit dogs holler. Oh, right. you talking about change? What important topic you want?
Mm-hmm.
Come on, get out of here. Go ahead, read this.
The book of Psalms, chapter 127 and verse 3.
Yeah.
Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand.
Right, so it says children are a heritage of the Lord. A heritage is like a descendancy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what was the word that it used where you were at? The scripture you just read, it used another word.
This is the race which thou leavest may be magnified.
Right, the race. So that's what it's talking about, that heritage, right? So it says children are a heritage of the Lord. And that heritage could be bad or it could be good.
Right.
Right? You could have an inheritance, right? Like it kind of goes the same. I'll use inheritance because people don't understand heritage. That inheritance could be whack.
Right.
It could be evil or it could be good, something that's continuing on, right? Come on.
Verse 4, as arrows are in the hand of a mighty man. So are children of the youth.
And what are arrows used? They're used as a weapon.
Right.
This is how we stand up and fight against spiritual wickedness in high places, principalities and powers, because they know that if any generation rises up, chances are, because that's how it's been historically, because we haven't got it right, because we haven't gone over these important topics,
right.
All right, that what winds up happening is, don't worry, we'll get the kids, and we'll condition them. We'll socialize them.
That's what they target.
To something else.
Right.
Right? But it says, no, your children, in combination with everything else we brought out in the scriptures up until this point, okay, about showing thyself a man, leaving behind the that inheritance, all right, that line, okay, they are like arrows. And then it expounds on what that is. Come on.
Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them.
Right. Happy is the man that have his quiver full of them, right? That have his, meaning he's using the analogy of arrows. Why? Come on.
They shall not be ashamed.
Because why? This goes with other scriptures in Sirach where it talks about how you raised the kids, right? Mm. You didn't conquer them, all right? You didn't give them liberty in their youth. You held them in straightly, okay?
Right.
You broke them, right? Because you didn't do like a wild horse, meaning you got to break a horse in so that you get certain behaviors. You followed everything. You followed the ways of the Lord and God's judgments and showed yourself a man. Come on.
But they shall speak with the enemies in the gate.
Right, and my thing has a little letter next to it, right? And it says, they shall subdue or destroy the enemies in the gate.
And that's what I was saying. That's heavy because you think about it. What's it talks about? Our children could be an avenger for us, right?
Yes.
So if you don't have them brought up properly so they can keep the charge of the Lord,
uh-huh,
then it just falls apart.
Yes, yes. So it's important. A lot of times you'll hear some of us say, you're not raising them to be with you. You're raising them for the world.
Right.
This is what that's going into.
Mm.
This is why you don't do those things. This is why you don't conquer them, all right?
Can I point one more thing in?
Yeah, go ahead.
In verse 4, too, it says, as arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, right? Imagine the details of an arrow. Imagine if the feathers on the back aren't there. How's it going to be aerodynamic? Just even the little details, like when he goes to pull the arrow out. So that's the same thing with the grooming. It's the little details that are important because that's what's going to hold it together and bring it into what it's truly designed to do.
Mm-hmm. Right. Someone said, what if the sister can't have kids? Does she get married? Listen, not everybody's going to be able to have the children, right? But that's a decision that you have with the person that you meet and you wind up being with. The husband and wife still represent a strong foundation in Israel and in the community of what we are as a nation.
Right.
That's a strong example of those people. All right, that's a strong example of that. So it's not just in direct seed that comes through, but it's also in the behaviors. Remember, I said you show yourself,
right?
And the example that you set, and not the social media example, which is the same example you see in movies,
mm-hmm,
which only shows snapshots of a relationship,
right?
Because social media, I'm telling you, a lot of times the people on social media that look like they have, and I'm not saying all of them, there's exceptions, that look like they have the happiest relationships,
mm-hmm,
they the most full of crap.
Right.
I know this intimately because these are the same couples that they at each other's throat and now I got to counsel them on them.
Right.
But then they up on counsel, and it's usually the woman, I hate this man and blah, blah, blah. And then she on like, oh my Lord,
right,
showing the picture with the family picture of just her and him.
The show.
Hey, our people, they get so caught up on what looks aesthetically appealing on social media.
Mm, that's it. That's it. Well, that's a whole nother thing that I still never got into that. But like the psychological effects of social media.
Right.
And I see a lot of our people suffer from that with social. Don't get me wrong, man. I've said this before. I like social to a point. I think people who are like social media nuts, like,
right,
I don't know if they just didn't get enough attention as a child. It creates a main character narrative.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little bit of narcissism that creeps in.
That's it right there.
With that, with social media, because of the attention that you get. There's something, it stimulates dopamine to see the likes and the hearts and
They studied the mind before they released these things. That's crazy.
That's another topic, which I want to do for, I don't know if I'll do it for a class or a show.
I was going over
I got a multitude. I got a multitude,
you know,
of things.
We were going over
so
that?
Much to go over. What was it now?
Ex Machina. We did a
Ex Machina. That's a great movie.
I haven't watched it, but I was watching
I might
the
watch
replay.
It again when I do the social media thing because I think it has some crossover on it.
I was watching. I was going over that specific episode we were doing, and
uh-huh,
it was good that we went over.
Yeah.
That one clip was good about advertisement.
Ex Machina is, bro, that movie left me disturbed for a few days, bro.
Yeah.
And I was in the troop when I first saw it, but it was years back. Yeah. The ending threw me for a loop. Right?
Yeah, it threw me for a loop.
Bro, and I think that's the beauty of the movie because that means you bought into what was going on.
Right. And I didn't even realize it till you explained it on the show.
Yeah, bro, that thing's... I like movies like that.
I didn't realize.
I like those ones that make you think. I like sci-fi a lot, but especially those deep ones that get you thinking.
I saw the one about the magician.
Oh, The Prestige.
That one was good.
Fire, bro. The Prestige is fire, bro.
I was like,
that's a great flick.
Everybody, try to pay attention.
Yo, that's such a Man, and such great actors.
It was good.
Such great actors, right?
I was
bro,
like,
The Prestige is a bad movie, bro. I love that flick. I love that flick.
Netflix?
It's good, yeah. It's long. It's like 2 and change.
I don't remember.
Good. I don't know if it's on Netflix. It floats around. The Prestige. The
I
Prestige
paid
is bad.
For it.
Damn,
I think I paid for it.
Huh? Wow.
That thing was real
yeah.
good,
you got Christian
bro.
Bale. You got Hugh Jackman.
Mm. That was real good.
I don't
movie,
know actors
bro.
Like that, but I'm
well, Wolverine
that.
And Batman already.
Yeah.
And Black Widow. Yep. Yeah, man.
It was really good.
Prestige is good. The Prestige
yeah.
is good.
Can I get a scripture for the sis that mentioned the no kids?
Yeah, go ahead.
Give Wisdom of Solomon 4:1 real quick.
Bring it out.
Just on the, because it talks about having children and the children's a heritage of the Lord. It's important for us to have children. But even if you cannot have kids, this is something to meditate on.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead and read.
4:1?
4:1.
The Book of Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 4, verse 1.
Read.
Better it is to have no children.
So it is better to have no children at all, read.
And to have virtue.
And to have virtue, the high moral standards that we're bringing out. Because with virtue, you can be an example to instill virtue in the next generation.
Right. As the husband and wife that you are, right?
Right,
like
right.
That you show that virtue. You live it.
Right.
You show that example, right?
Right.
For the memorial thereof.
For the memorial, or even just the memory. You could think of it as a memory. The memory of that example, read.
Is immortal.
It lives on, read.
Because it is known with God and with men.
Because it is known with God first, but also with men.
Mm.
And that's even that study to show thyself approved unto God. Because it's you're studying these virtues in the Bible and displaying it through your actions. And it's going to leave behind a memory that lives with the next generation.
Mm. Oh, praises, man. That's on point. All right. What do we got? No, we're not going to show that one. Oh, we didn't go into that. I said I wanted to start with... I said I was going to start with the masculine and feminine.
Yeah, but it was that...
You gave like a preview. That. We went over like the list and this and that other list that he just had up that you see.
Right.
And
oh,
that
you
was
know
just
what?
Like a little preview.
The marriage thing again, because I was thinking about this week. And I think I was talking with somebody about this, and it sparked some more thought on this graphic, right? You know what? We didn't finish Timothy. Go back and finish Timothy.
Yes, sir.
Go back and finish Timothy, because we're talking about thoroughly furnished.
The book of 2 Timothy, chapter 3, and verse 17.
Freedom.
That the man of God may be perfect. Thoroughly furnished.
Right, so that thoroughly furnished goes into all these little nuanced things, going into these behaviors, like really changing yourself. Because let me tell you something. What really happens when you start to institute some of these small changes, it shows that you can apply discipline.
Mm.
If you can be consistent in working out, and this is why I believe in taking smaller steps, so you're not overwhelmed. So let's use working out as an example.
Right.
Stop trying to go for 6 days when you first start. Start with one day. And if you do that one day consistently,
every week,
mm-hmm. you're building something. It's not ideal. You might not see great results over one day, but it shows that you can commit, right? Versus so much more than that. My wife asked me to put like a little program together for her, and I told her, I said, okay, I'm going to do it. Because, you know, I let her do her own thing. I said, because of the way I see how things are with your time and whatever, we got the little setup at home. I said, I'm going to give you a 3-day-a-week full body workout. I said, three. That's it. I said, and I'm going to try to schedule it so that it don't take you no more than 45 minutes to an hour to do it, right? And you'll start with something like that. And I think that's easier to stick to because she was doing some other thing. And, you know, in the beginning, she was good, but it was like 5-6 days a week of working out, something like that. And sometimes you don't even need that much, man. Ideally, 3, 4, 5 days, you know, depending on your goals, you'll get away with that. But start small. Things like the diet. Start small then, you know. Make small improvements, you know. Throw more vegetables on the plate or whatever, you know.
Brothers hit the gym and they think automatically, yeah, I got to throw 225 on there.
Yeah, yeah. They go, you know, that's a lot of old football heads, though. They play football in high school and whatever, maybe even at the college level. And that's different. That's a different type of training. That's for athletic performance. For lifestyle stuff, you don't need to be in there freaking, let me just, you know, go. We call that ego lifting.
Right.
Like, you want to go in, like, to just throw up the weight, you know? Like, the other day I was posting, we're going to do, like, one of those endurance events I was talking about. And I was posting up, you know, some of my, the same way I post on the fitness group here, like, you know, some of my weights and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
I do that not to show out, but to show you that I'm progressing, that I stay consistent, you know, like, and then maybe, you know, brothers will see like, damn, you know, I see him as an example being pretty consistent. Maybe I can be consistent too. Right. You know, one of the captains like, damn, you know, but how the hell are you so strong? You know, I guess basically implying I'm so little. I'm not so strong. And I told him, I said, look, well, Deacon Isaac was like, it's rhino strength, it's evil strength.
Right.
And I said, consistency. I said, I didn't start with this much weight. I said, I didn't come in here trying to throw this up.
Mm-hmm.
I said, this took me probably 6-7 months to build back to this. I said, you know, and I had a foundation from before when I used to do it, but you know, you don't go in there. You don't have to go crazy puking. You know, some people like that stuff. Mm-hmm. They feel like they've done something. And, you know, there's people that you can go and they'll do that. And there's a gimmick to that. I do think most people don't work out hard enough, mm-hmm. especially those guys that just because they're throwing up heavy weight and not really doing anything that stimulates like properly what needs to happen. But I just think that little things like that, you build them small, it'll show consistency, right? So that thoroughly furnished, going back into that, it shows that you can apply discipline in something. And it's harder to do like a cold turkey radical change,
right?
Okay. So I think like if you start small, so brothers, you know, if you didn't, you know, if you didn't take care of your balls before, you know, maybe start just
once a week.
You know, well, I think you should start 2 to 3 times a week with your balls. That needs a little more. If you have sweaty, smelly balls,
a little more TLC.
I think that needs a little more aggressive action. You know, start with two. Cut out the carbs. But you know what? Again, that's another generalization. Carbs. I mean, they've shown that
carbs from bananas.
Right. So, like, are we saying fruits are bad? Vegetables have carbs.
Right.
So. It's not – the issue is really not carbs. It's that people do carbs with high fats.
Mm-hmm.
So things like pizza,
right?
Breads with cheese and lots of butter and things like that. Carbs are not bad for you. Our parents grew up with grains.
Yeah.
All we ate was grains. So carbs that's an agenda. That's carbs are not bad for you. Now, barring certain issues that you may have, you seek medical advice. We did a show on that. Get blood work. Because doctors are going to be the ones that, you know, you could tell somebody eat this and that thing could be making them sick.
Right.
I think the sister we had at the time we did the show was talking about she had a patient that was a celery. She was doing like hard body, like a lot of like a celery cleanse or something. And she had all types of inflammation going on. And it's that the celery just didn't agree with her
regard. I remember that one. That's because someone recommended it to her, but that was because what she was by the doctor, prescribed by the doctor for her specifically.
Yeah.
And she recommended it to someone else.
The bottom line, I don't want to digress too much from this.
Yeah.
We'll talk about this more when we do like kind of the health. I don't know if I call it health and wellness. I'll see what we title it. The biggest thing is adherence. This goes back to the discipline. I don't want to stray too far from that. When I hear little things like just do this, just cut that,
mm-hmm.
that's not discipline. That's a quick fix. That's really unrealistically. Attainable, because what happens with things like keto is people, unless you're going to eat keto the rest of your life, you're going to have a rebound.
Right.
Unless you're going to eat low carb the rest of your life, you're going to have a rebound.
So we're talking about disciplines that are going to be long term.
Right. So it's really so really long discipline is long term consistent change.
Right.
That affects change, not a fad, not a little thing that I tried this for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, our mind doesn't like that. We like quick rewards. We like quick things. So we want hacks. This is the generation of hacks and shortcuts. And we want the short version of things. And the reality is, it's really not that much more complex, but it's not as simple as just eliminate a food group.
Right.
That makes no sense. Then you can, in theory, wind up with other type of deficiencies. You know, what you do is protein should be a priority. And that's whether you get it from vegetables or whatever it is. I know
nuts,
some people
seeds.
Are plant-based.
Yeah.
If you want it, you just got to be a little more careful because it's not just the protein. There's certain amino acids that you might not get unless you're very attentive to the types of food you eat.
Right.
And you need all of them. Your body doesn't produce all. They're called essential amino acids that you cannot get. Your body does not synthesize them, right? So my point is it's a little harder if you go plant-based, if you want to really stay balanced. But it can be done if you stay focused on it, right? Like, and say, okay, I know I need to eat a certain amount of this and I need to supplement with this because there's some deficiencies in that.
Right.
Remember, the Most High made it for us to be able to eat these things, just not surfeiting, like the scripture says.
But you can still splurge, too. So as you build disciplines. Like, you can have every once in a while, go ahead and...
Yeah, there ain't nothing wrong with that. Okay. But in the beginning, I wouldn't recommend that. You know, people do cheat meals and cheat days.
Right.
Some people do cheat weeks, I've heard. What the hell is that?
Yeah,
that's derail your whole thing. And that actually, there's a hormonal response that happens in relation to food as well.
Okay.
That kind of messes you up too. Let me tell you, the best discipline you could build for your diet is participate consistently in the bi-monthly fast. You should be doing it to build your spirit in the right spirit.
Right.
But I see so many people that they can just not go a day without putting something in their damn mouth.
That's heavy.
And if you can do it during a fast, can modulate that to minimize how much you eat during the course of a day and what you eat.
That's right.
Yeah. And then you can be the person that says, hey, I had a cheeseburger today and I did not feel guilty about it.
Mm.
I eat cheeseburgers as part of my rotation, but I use leaner beef. I use low-fat cheese. I don't put mayo. I'll use a little bit of ketchup and mustard.
Right.
Right? So I found a way to have a health. Now, it's not the savory deliciousness of a 80-20 fat beef patty. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I did a 93-7. They even have like 94-6, I think. Those are a little tough, though, when you cook them up, like 94-6, like super low fat.
Mm.
But and even pizza. There's like ways that you can make healthy versions of pizza. The thing is that the Bible talks about not surfeiting,
right?
Not excess and things like that. It's a little more nuanced and stuff like that. But my point is, when I hear things of like eliminate food groups or just, I think in some extreme cases for people who are like extremely obese,
right?
That's a good maybe start because it's a good motivator. You drop a lot of weight on the scale. You drop a lot of water.
Mm.
Heavier people can actually burn more fat than what's typically recommended.
Mm-hmm.
Just because of the excess that they have.
Right.
They actually can do it on higher calories too, because a lot of it goes based on what your body needs to move and function.
Mm.
And what's lacking is like an exit strategy to titrate up to introducing carbs back into your diet where you don't feel demotivated when all the water and the glycogen comes into your muscles.
Right.
And then the scale weight goes up and then people start freaking out. You might look a little bloated,
mm-hmm.
you know. And what happens is you don't have a plan of proper eating. What it creates is this what's called disordered eating.
Mm-hmm.
And you have such a negative relationship with food rather than if you would have just built discipline to change the way you eat, right? Like you could do something better. And it really starts with, you can start as simple with foundation of what the scripture says.
Right.
You've already taken a step by keeping the dietary laws and eliminating, you know, things like those shellfish and the pork and stuff like that.
Right.
And now just apply the other stuff, which is a little sufficient for a man well nourished.
Mm-hmm.
And how are you well nourished? You don't eliminate food groups. You really, you know, you really should, because you need the micronutrients,
portion
the different
size.
Things that is in, yeah, there's different ways that you can approach it. I'm not going to give this like a health and coaching thing, but again, I see
turned into one, you know?
Yeah, because everybody gets, and I get it, everybody gets excited. They want to share the little tidbits that they knew and this and that. But none of these go back to the point that I'm still trying to make about discipline.
No, yes.
All discipline I'm hearing is little tips. Use this oil, use that. Yes, guess what? There's certain oils I don't like to cook with because I know that they can change chemically when you cook with them, right? There's some that are better than other. But that's just, what is that going to do if you're still sleeping 5 hours, if your balls still smell, you don't work out? You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what's funny is I'll see these people who want to post up about all their little things and being plant-based, but then they liquor themselves up over the weekend.
Mm.
What about that? Nobody wants to talk about that, right? How about you put down the drink, do two a week, see how you deal
Turning
with that.
Up
people don't
Tuesday.
Roll that way. Anyway, what did I say? Let's go back to where we at. Come on, let's read this.
The best explanation of marriage. This is why a man leaves.
Right. So it says, amen. There's a measure of maturity that needs to happen, right? We brought that up in Kings.
Yes.
Right. You show yourself a man. Right. But here's what I wanted to get. And I said I can't remember who I was speaking with somebody this week, because I was talking about how daughters really shouldn't leave the house until they're married.
That's heavy.
That's biblical.
That's because you're the head.
That's
what
biblical.
Are they going to do in the world without a head?
That's biblical.
Right.
That's biblical. Because, you know, I let my daughter kind of talk about, like, I'm going to have to burst her bubble soon. But she talks about getting her own apartment. Because, you know, she wants to decorate herself. Like, she's into, like, she calls it aesthetic.
Mm-hmm.
So she likes to look at paint colors and organize and things like that. And, you know, she feels like she's a little decorator.
Right.
So she's like, Daddy, when I have my apartment, I'm going to do this to it. I'm going to do that and this and that. And, you know, as I've been diving into this topic, think about it. I said, man, I'm going to have to pull her back a little bit from that, because she really needs to stay home, mm-hmm. right? Get me that where it says, marry thy daughter, and thou perform the weighty matter. Yep.
That's heavy.
Right, get that. But I want to come back to this thing with the man and show you this. Ciroc 7. Ciroc 7.
I got it.
25. But hold on, let me see if I want to start.
25. 24 is really...
About her body?
No, just to get to the point. Come on.
The book of Ciroc, chapter 7 and verse 25. Marry thy daughter, and so shalt thou have performed a weighty matter.
Come on.
But give her not to a man, or but give her to a man of understanding.
But it says, but give her to a man of understanding. It says you've done a weighty matter. When you look at examples in the scripture that were done correctly, all of these sisters, they lived at home before they got married. When we went into Isaac and Rebecca,
right.
when we went into Jacob, Leah, and Rachel,
yep.
right? When we went into Tobit,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
We did all those examples, right? And that's just some. There's many
yeah.
more. They all lived at home. But guess who else lived at home? The man, too. So when it says this is why a man leaves his father and mother, the man should not be moving out either.
Hey, that's heavy.
Your son should not be out on their own.
That's heavy.
And let me tell you what that extends to. And you take this how you want.
Bring it out.
I'm seeing the deceptive way that some of our children, as they've matured to the age of what the world calls young adults,
right,
yeah.
right.
are circumventing this by picking colleges that are out of state so that they can dorm.
Right.
And I'm telling you, they're trying to circumvent the process when they do that. Because you know what happens in those dorms.
Mm-hmm.
You know what college life is about.
Mm-hmm.
It's raging hormones with no hedge around them. And you think that they're going to be able to take fire in their bosom and not fall?
Not be burned.
And not be burned? So when that marrying your daughter perform a weighty matter, this also means the man, because the scripture tells you this is why a man leaves his father and mother. That means he don't leave the house till he's married.
Right.
You want to do it the right way? And that don't mean you have like a big freaking baby Huey
at home at 35
At 35 that he ain't trying to get married. You know what I'm saying?
But that means you've done did what you need properly. So when he's 20, he's already, everything's lined up.
Yes.
They've already gone through their proven. They know who each other. They're just ready to take that step.
Well, right. Well, it said in Ciroc, you give her to a man of understanding,
right.
which means, you know, that we have the proving processes in place. You're looking at these things and you're saying, okay, you know.
The father's vetted.
The father's going right. to vet whoever, right?
Right.
And in some cases, a daughter that's really in the spirit is saying, Daddy, do you see somebody for me?
That's trusting it.
That's a weighty matter.
Right.
That's a weighty matter. Because you also read in Tobit, where's the part where it says, do her good and not evil all her days?
Yes, sir.
Is that 8 or 9?
It's like right around there.
Get that real quick? Come on. But I'm telling you, these sisters that go, it's a lot of sisters, but the men too, they're supposed to stay home until they're married. And also the man, because the scripture tells you here, this is why a man leaves his father and mother.
Right.
For marriage. He don't leave to go to the college dorm. He don't. That's an American thing. That's a Greek thing, universities in that way. Listen, especially if you here in Arizona, there's plenty of good schools that you can go to. I'm going to give you the perfect example. Daniel's daughter, I think is in her mid-20s now, early 20s, has not left home. She goes to school, but she lives at home.
That's all praises.
She lives at home.
Right.
I love that. I love that girl. I saw her from when she was a little bit. I mean, one of the sweetest. She's grown up to be a wonderful young lady.
Right.
Just such a great example. And she was not trying to leave her house to go away like that. At one point, they were looking at it. And I remember Bishop saying, hey, are there good schools over there? If, you know, I wouldn't mind sending her, you know, but like basically, if you have your eyes over her, certain men, not just me, but I'm saying certain men, if that's the case. But she wound up making the decision, and they made the decision collectively that she would stay home and do that.
Right.
She ain't out of home trying to get an apartment, trying to go to a dorm looking for liberty.
Mm.
That's a young lady that's in the spirit.
Right.
That's a young lady that's in the spirit. right? So what a great example do we have here just in our leadership. So we need to do that, but the young man shouldn't go either.
Now, that part's heavy.
That part, I never looked at that.
And when we do see Sci-Sci, she's usually with her mother.
Yep.
Learning from her mother.
Yep. Right. Yeah, she's not up in there, up in men's faces and stuff like that. None of that stuff. None of that stuff. But this goes before you get what I told you to get. It says this is why a man leaves his father and mother for marriage and becomes attached, right, or becomes cleaved to his wife, and they become one flesh. This is the part that I wanted from this. We went over this a few times already with the rest of it. But you see the subtlety in those words? This is why he leaves. That's when he leaves home. That's when he leaves home.
Right.
Not before. If you're doing it right, you take that how you want. Oh, but my daughter wants to go to this amazing school and this and that. Listen,
hell no.
That's right. Yeah, that's daddy's. That's gonna be daddy's answer.
Right.
You know, and I'm gonna quench what she wants to do. I'll support it, but it's gonna be that you here.
Stay within the confines.
You at home.
Of the house. Right.
You staying within the confines of the house.
Mm-hmm. Stay with the pack.
That's how you're gonna do it, and my son as well.
That's respecting the fact you know that you need a as a woman. You know you need a hedge. And that's understanding how to utilize the resources God gave you in this earth to live life the way that you need to.
Right. Hey,
you know what?
Read this real quick, and then hold your thought. Read this real quick.
The book of Tobit, chapter 10 and verse 12.
So I said it's a weighty matter to marry thy daughter, right? Because there's a lot that goes into that. The scripture before, it's over, have a care of her body and all that. If she's shameless, hold her and straightly. But go ahead, come on.
And he said to his daughter, honor thy father and thy mother-in-law, which are now thy parents, that I may hear good report of thee. And he kissed her. Edna also said to Tobias, the Lord of heaven restore thee, my dear brother, and grant that I may see thy children of my daughter Sarah before I die, that I may rejoice before the Lord. Behold, I commit my daughter unto thee of special trust.
Right. So you're committing them of special trust. You're committing your daughter, right? And your son, too, because the way some of these sisters are shameless out here, right? Your son, too. You're raising him up so that, you know, you giving the proper insight into what he's looking for. And the best way you're going to do that is by keeping a continual watch over them.
If he's at home.
Right? But he says, marry your daughter, you commit a weighty matter. Come on.
Behold, I commit my daughter unto thee of special trust.
Of special trust. Come on.
Wherefore, do not entreat her evil.
Don't entreat her evil. Don't entreat her evil. Scripture says you got to do her good. Don't entreat her evil. And the same goes for the man as we read here. Get that in Genesis 2:24 because we're reading that on the graphic.
Right.
I want us to read it out of the scriptures, all right?
The book of Genesis, chapter 2 and verse 24. Therefore, shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife. And they shall be one flesh.
Right. Start at verse 23.
Verse 23. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh.
See, that's what really should be in marriage vows, right? You want to give vows to yourself. I'm not saying you can't have other things that you say. You want to do the thing where you give some vows. But this is what really should be brought out, right? Come on.
She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man.
Come on.
Therefore, shall a man leave.
Therefore, because you get married. Come on.
Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh.
So the daughter and the son should not be leaving home until they get married, right? Until they get married. What did it say? What if you're a daughter and you want to stay home, but your father wants you to stay in the dorm? Then he needs to, I don't know if I don't think that's a repenting man. He needs to maybe watch some classes and read some scriptures then.
Yeah. A little more research.
Right. You know, that's there's some context needed to that question. You know, there's some context needed to my question. So we'll see. We'll see how that goes. Man, we still got people talking about diet tips and the damn thing. We're bringing out all this fire.
30 minutes ago?
They going. I know, it's been 30 minutes. They going back and forth talking about oils and cassava. Create a chat room and go over that, brothers and sisters. Let's focus on the class.
Right.
All right? Occasionally I see a question and I'll answer it for brothers and stuff like that, but...
The power hour is the power, and you got to be able to, you know, stick with it where we at.
Right, but that's really how it should go down. I'm telling you, if your daughter or your son is yearning to leave like that,
What's the intention behind
What's the intention behind that? And like I said, there's a fine line, you know, maybe you got the freeloading son or whatever or something like that, but...
Well, that's what I wanted to say about fathers. So I know that like in the Hispanic, or so-called Hispanic, right, father-son thing, when a father keeps a son with him, like... Mm-hmm. Even though he's a grown up, no, let's go. You're helping me out.
Fornication. That's the. I'm sorry. Fornication. That's the. That's why they want to go to the dorm. You're damn
right.
Go ahead. I'm sorry, officer.
Promiscuous.
Promiscuity.
Yeah.
Promiscuity. Remember that song? Nelly Furtado.
What was I saying?
Yeah, I'm sorry, bro.
I forgot.
Man, that song was putting spirits on sisters, bro. They be there. You be dating the sister. She's singing that song. You're like, yo, what the fuck? Oh, my bad.
Damn,
no. I'm sorry. Reel me back in.
Emotional damage.
Bro, straight up, you out and they're like, promiscuous girl. Like, we be promiscuous.
Yeah.
We're in a committed relationship.
Right. What's going on here?
See, that's that relationship crap. The hell out of here singing that song. Oh, my goodness, man. Go ahead, bro. I kept cutting you. I'm sorry, bro.
You're saying a father with a son.
Oh, he even though he's an older son, right?
Right.
Being his 20s. And he still lives with him, that father will have him like, yo, we're still cleaning out. We're still taking care. We're still fixing the car, fixing the truck. And he grows up to have those values, even especially as an older me, when my father comes around, even though he's not in the truth, what have you, and he's around, I still want to be around him and do what he does as far as like, let's clean,
right,
let's fix.
Right.
Let's
and you know what? Move. If you have a son that's showing that, don't quench that.
Right.
I don't want to turn this into the parenting thing, but we're talking about it. I mean, it overlaps. I recently did the parenting for 300 again, so I think it's like the second time I did it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm noticing that my son wants to, like follow after me in so much.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like I've said this before, I think among our people, among Israel, among Jake, and again, there's exceptions to this, all right? I know generalizations... They're generalizations for a reason, meaning that there are outliers. But by and far, I was raised with children should be seen and not heard. And I believe in that.
Right.
In that the child should not should be shamefaced and not be trying to be in the adult's face to have conversation.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that our people have taken that to an extreme where it's just the kid just needs to be quiet all the time.
Right. And you don't acknowledge
them. And you don't acknowledge them. And sometimes I've said this before. Sometimes I look, my kids can sometimes talk like to no end. And sometimes I'm trying to focus or do something else. But I always remind myself that to don't be annoyed by, especially with your sons. Going back to the son, I noticed this thing where he wants to be with me. He wants to be after me. You know, he wants to. You know, hey, daddy, look. You know, yeah, we matching this, right? We do this. He'll just kind of come and just talk up with dad, you know, because especially with his son, he's looking for his dad. He wants his dad's acceptance. He wants his dad's acknowledgement.
Right.
And, you know, he'll make something or he'll do something or he'll draw something. Daddy, look, I did this. I did that or whatever. Hey, and he's like trying to pull you in to get involved. And a lot of times I see in Israel, like we're kind of like, eh. You know, they'll come with questions and like, eh, eh. And I know that we can be busy sometimes, but I think one of the biggest things you can do is make sure that you're present as a father.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm supposed to go over tomorrow for 300, The Man of Steel and Velvet.
Right,
and that's some of the quality that I have to show. Mm-hmm. I was telling the officer, it's too much that's already firing through my mind, that Lord's will, life lasts, I might do it for a future Sabbath class when I teach to kind of really go into it. So I'm not sure to what extent I'm going to do it on the 300, but I got to see. Because I still want to flesh out a little more. I wanted to use examples in the scriptures of the qualities of steel and the qualities of velvet, like it talks about, because they are there.
Right. Captain Zakai,
you just don't call them that.
Captain Zakai did a, like last year. I think he did last year's class. It was cold.
Yeah,
it was cold.
I don't know, man. He ain't too velvety to me though.
But he gave a good example.
He a lot more steel than velvet, Captain
Zakai. Right.
He a lot more steel than velvet, bro,
right.
Captain Zakai.
But he brought out the fact that with velvet, he compared it to spider silk.
Uh-huh.
And how spider silk is how, as flexible as it is strong.
Mm-hmm.
So even with displaying that velvet, it still can display like extreme amount of strength.
Right.
Yeah.
Hey. Yeah. I was looking up the characteristics, like how it's woven and everything
right.
like that. Yeah. Hey. Well, and more importantly, it represents loyalty.
That's heavy.
Back in the day, it was seen as a royal fabric. So I got some stuff.
Okay.
I got some stuff. You going to be on as an alumni?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I got some stuff. Yes, I got some stuff for it. We'll see.
You know how we say about the fathers, like, oh, yeah, kids need fathers. They need to grow up with fathers.
Mm-hmm.
Even when you're from, let's say, 15 years on to, like, 20, maybe 60, even to your older in age, having your father around makes a big difference.
Because my father wasn't around. It's interesting that you say that. I'm going to let you finish your thought. And I used to think that the hell with that, that it was all right.
Right.
Fortunately, I had my grandfather, which wasn't the same. He wasn't there all the time, but I had my grandfather to look up to as an example. I had my stepfather in the house, and my mother didn't really let him deal with us as far as discipline and things like that. But I did see good work ethic in him. Like I learned things like that. Like, he wasn't a bum. He was always working and stuff like that.
Right.
And so I kind of learned that from him. I used to think that I had a hell with it. And it was more just like a coping mechanism, because I didn't understand at the time why my father had left and everything like that. But it's so critical to have that father in there because of...
Like you just say, you were looking for virtues.
Right.
And
right.
Those virtues you took
right.
was from your...
I'm going to give you an example. You grow up, right? When you're young.
Right.
And, okay, he teaches you how to... you know, clean, or he teaches you how to, okay, you guys are feeding, you grow up to feed the dog, right, what have you, and now that's like, no, I have to feed my pets every day, and that's a daily thing you do. But when you grow up, who's going to teach you how to buy a car?
Mm-hmm.
Who's going to teach you how to buy a house? Unless, I mean, you know, if you have family members, what have you, people in the congregation. But you grow up, and you need someone to teach you how to buy a car.
Right.
And then you don't get scammed.
Yeah. Let me summarize it for you in the scriptures. Sirach 30 and 4.
The book of Sirach.
Actually, start at 3.
The book of Sirach, chapter 30 and verse 3.
Yeah.
He that teacheth his son grieveth the enemy, and before his friends he shall rejoice of him.
Right, so it says he that teacheth his son grieveth the enemy, right? Because remember, that goes back to Psalms 127
right.
about their arrows in your quiver. They'll
yep.
speak with the enemy in the gates. They grieve the enemy because why? We're perpetuating... this royalty, this rehearsing these righteous acts, that it doesn't die with one generation, right? And it says, and before his friends, he shall rejoice of him because he's a good example.
Right.
You're not being pulled because your son's the damn devil, right?
Mm-hmm.
And did some lewd acts. Come on.
Verse 4. Though his father died.
And this goes into what we're talking about. Come on.
Yet he is as though he were not dead.
Why? Come on.
For he hath left one behind him that is like himself.
This is why I say you got to be the man. You got to be the kind of man that you want your daughter to marry and that you want your son to be.
That's heavy. That's heavy.
That's the kind of man that we would circles back to the self-improvement in us and all that stuff like that. Because the scripture says when you teach your son the right way, you leave. It's like you're not gone.
Right.
Because you left behind one like yourself. So like I was saying, my son, he likes to come to me for a little and I try to foster that. For as much as at 6 years old that his attention lets him stay focused.
Right.
Hey, oh, daddy, you know, something as simple as grilling, right? That seemed like a man thing. I know women could grill, right? But he'd be like, oh, daddy, you're gonna cook some steaks? You're going to cook something? You know, can I come help you? Yes, son, come on. I'll show you this. You can do this. I'll put together something in the house, put together some furniture in the playroom. And I'm like, all right, I can't have you do this part, but, you know, even if it's like, okay, hand me this tool. All right, what's this one, daddy? What's that? You know, little things like that you're teaching him. All right, I'll look for a part in the build where he could do it by himself, too.
Yeah.
So they was like, okay, this is your part. You finish it, you know?
Right.
And then I think some of it carried over into the next day. He wasn't there. And I said, hey, I left your part for you. Go do it.
Mm.
And I didn't have to be there. And he did the whole thing by himself.
That's dope.
What his little part was,
right.
You know?
One of the officers had brought out something real heavy during the 300 class, and he brought out the mere fact that, like, when your child is small and they look at you and they smile at you, that's a small form of an affirmation to them when you smile back.
Mm-hmm.
You're affirming their value.
Yeah. Yeah, there's so much little nuanced thing that goes into it. I know my son got a little... You know how he'll calm me down? And not when he's doing something bad, because he ain't never calming me down if he did something that he needs to be, you know, corrected on. But if he sees me, like, agitated, you know, and I'm dealing with him, he'll go and he'll give me this face. And I go, what's that face? He goes, that's the face you're making right now. But it don't look as intimidating. And I'm like,
right.
I'm like, okay, all right. So now my daughter picked up on it, and they both kind of like, so if I'm like, you know, being extra,
right,
they'll kind of do that and stuff make like that. Yeah, they'll make the face. That's but funny. Yeah, bro, like I was getting ready. I was taking a shower before I came here and stuff like that. And he's just outside the shower talking to me. Bro, sometimes I'm using the bathroom. I'm like, yo, can I use the bathroom, son? Like, bro, you never let me use the bathroom, bro.
Right, right.
Like, let me use the bathroom.
Just need 5 minutes.
But you know, obviously within reason.
Right.
You need to foster that if they want to learn those things and they want to be around you in that way and stuff like that. You need to be able to teach them those type of things. You know?
They posted a video of Jordan Peterson on the importance of fathers.
Yeah.
Do you want to watch it?
Yeah, we're kind of going off the rails here.
Right.
Nah, save it. Right. We'll do it for now. Hey, another thing that you got to teach your son is violence.
That's facts.
And I was laughing because
there
was a clip in Black Adam that talks about that. And in 300, they talk about that, how they raised the sons. And what I mean by violence is that Jordan Peterson has a clip about that, too. And there's some others. And they talk about there's a saying. I'm going to butcher it. But it says it's better to be a warrior in a garden than a gardener in a war.
Right.
Oh, snap.
And there needs to, and what I mean by that is, yes, there needs to be some toughness. You need to put a spine in your daughters too, you know, to an extent,
right?
But in your sons, you got to put a spine in them, you know, and that spine isn't because, right? We're taught these scriptures that turn the other cheek, love thy neighbor, but you got to teach them that violence in and of itself is not bad. It's where it's directed when it's needed that is brought out. So you have to teach them, you know, some measure of defense. And if you don't know it, then send them somewhere where they can do it.
Right.
And at the very least, you can teach them a posture of austerity when it's appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's not always an easy conversation. My son is like very, you know, like kind of mellow and stuff like that. And he don't want to like offend people. And, you know, I remember there was this one kid that was messing with him, and I'm like, yo, you need to, like, really. I was like, bro, don't let nobody hit you. Hit them out. But the teacher, I said, no teacher is going to tell me that you're wrong if you defend you. I said, you know, don't start nothing. I said, but you finish it.
Mm-hmm.
I said, if somebody do something to you, you do it back. Trust me, he'll never do it again.
Right.
He'll never do it again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, you know, little by little, you got to kind of build those things. My daughter, too, I had to build that because some of the boys sometimes could be bullies. I said, you kick them in the balls.
Right.
I said, they do some, daddy, no. That's, I said, if they touch you, you kick them in the balls. I said, but I tell them, me and my wife are on the same page. I said, listen, if you don't, then I'm going to beat you up.
Hey, that was the one rule growing up.
I'm going to beat you up.
If you didn't start the fight, you good.
Yep.
You good.
Yep.
You started it.
Yep. So, you know, so it's funny, there's a scene in Black Adam, and he's like, oh, I don't want to teach my son violence. He goes, you're right. His father should teach him violence. And he's like, oh, that's not his father. That's my brother. And he's like, so who's teaching him violence?
Right, you know right.
He says, who's teaching him violence?
Right.
You know, you gotta teach him something. You know, my wife says I need to step it up with him a little more, especially that I know self-defense and I've taught it. And I haven't made the time, like a little bit. He knows like some basic stuff.
Right.
So I told her, I said, you know, I might put him into something and then, you know, I'll supplement it with some of the stuff that I know and see how it goes for him and stuff like that. But you gotta get, I mean, I bought the little boxing gloves and all that too, you know? So I told him I gotta roughhouse him a little bit too, you know, like freaking wrestle with him a little bit so he could feel like the weight and the strength.
Pressure back, yeah.
Right. Give him a little pressure back. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know? So you gotta teach him that type of stuff too. So there's a lot that goes into it. So, gosh, where we at? Come on. We got like 30 minutes left. Let's, what else we got up here? There was something else I said that I wanted to go into before you run it back. Damn, you got the sister. Oh, no, put the article in Mississippi.
Oh,
yeah, that's what we started on.
Come
right?
on, man. Sometimes I put notes there and you guys.
Is that the one that we started on?
Yeah, we'll go back to the difficult people.
Not that one. The news article.
The syphilis.
Right.
The babies with syphilis. Come on. Yes. I even put a note. I said that we would do that, I think. Okay. Show me that. Go ahead. Read. Let me show you why I'm reading this, all right? Because this is why this is an important topic.
Right.
For the freaking knucklehead that was in there talking about, he put a snooze emoji, go over more important topics.
This is why the men need to stay in their father's house.
This is why he's in the comments and acceptable men are teaching.
Right.
Freaking moron. Come on.
Mississippi sees 1,000% increase in syphilis cases in newborns.
Now, I don't want to hear, oh, you can contract syphilis. Syphilis is an STD.
1,000 increase.
And I'm going to show you in the article where it's a result of hoeing around. You got these nasty sisters. And I'm going to tell you something. This ain't no Edomite. This is Jake. This is why topics like this are important, all right? It's Jake. It's Jake. They hoeing around while they pregnant. They are hoeing around while they pregnant, taking syphilis rods.
Those of you that don't know, Mississippi is like 90% Jake.
Yeah. Come on, read it.
Syphilis among newborns should be a thing of the past. But in Mississippi, we have seen a 1,000% increase since 2016, a former state health officer tweeted. He added about 40% of expecting mothers who contract syphilis during pregnancy suffer miscarriage.
They're contacting it during pregnancy. Not even that they got knocked up from a dirty D, contracting it during pregnancy.
It's no shame. No shame.
No shame. Come on.
Doctors recommend testing of pregnant people for the disease.
Come on, read on.
With the number of congenital syphilis cases rising in Mississippi, doctors across the Mid-South are expressing their concerns. Former Mississippi State Health Officer Thomas Dobbs, who led the state's fight against COVID-19, expressed his concerns on Twitter last week, saying, syphilis among newborns should be a thing of the past. But in Mississippi, we have seen a 1,000% increase since 2016. In another tweet, Dobbs said 40% of expecting mothers who contract syphilis during pregnancy suffer miscarriages. Several Mississippi newborns have died recently due to this entirely treatable problem.
Right. So they're talking about treating it, which means after the fact. But see, this is where the Bible is that perfect medicine. Because,
preventative.
Because if you were having pregnancies that come of sound marriages, that's preventative, and you won't get those things if you do it the right way. Right. Go ahead. Come on. Read on.
Dobbs blames inadequate prenatal health care.
That's another thing, too, though. I will say this. You got some people. I know maybe there's some hardships with getting benefits and stuff, but you need prenatal health care. All right. If you're pregnant, you need to be going for your regular visits and your checkups and things like that. All right. If you opt not to for whatever reasons, just be ready to reap whatever consequences come of that. All right. Because you got some people that will say don't go to the doctor and none of that stuff like that. And you need prenatal health care. I've said this before. You just got to be an advocate for your health care. Don't be ignorant. Don't just let them send you whatever to take whatever. You know, you speak. You be involved in your process. Right? Go ahead. Come on.
Dobbs blames inadequate prenatal health care, including a lack of syphilis testing, for the increase. Steve Throkhead, medical director of infectious disease at Baptist Memorial Healthcare in Memphis, Tennessee, understands Dobbs' outrage. I think that's probably what the frustration was.
Oh, someone said, this is why you don't kiss up on people. You know, I had a rule with that when my children would be even passed around the congregation, especially once I went through dental hygiene school, because I know what happens with the mouth. You know what I'm saying? Oh, I didn't address that part. We'll go back to the syphilis in a second. I'm taking my little side note. I had a rule. Listen, I don't want people kissing up on the babies. You know, I don't want, you know, and if, you know, I would tell my wife, if you're going to hand a baby to somebody, make sure you tell them, don't be kissing up on them.
Right.
Right. Even if it's not syphilis, it's like cold sores and stuff like that, that you can expose them to. There's other things in the mouth. Now, people were talking about the brushing your teeth. Let me tell you something. Sometimes brushing your teeth is not enough. I know our people have a fear of the dentist, all right? But that's because you don't go, that you have a fear of the dentist. So when by the time you do go, they got to do all types of stuff in there to try to get you right.
Man.
Right.
Way worse.
I'm hearing people talk about mouthwash and oil pulling and stuff like that. Let me tell you something. When you have a dirty toilet and it got doo-doo stains on it, does flushing make it go down the drain?
Hell no.
The stains or the poop?
The stains or the poop. Sometimes the poop stay with the streak.
Yeah.
The streak don't move.
Facts.
In your mouth, when bacteria die, because your mouth is an open orifice, right? There's bacteria constantly in there. You just need a proper balance of it.
Right.
When bacteria overpopulate and they die, their body starts to form layers on your teeth called calculus or tartar or plaque.
Right.
And it calcifies and solidifies. And then more bacteria die, and they calcify and solidify, and then more. And then that's why you got all this nastiness in your damn mouth. And at that point, there ain't no amount of brushing. There ain't no amount of mincing, because it's like the doodle stain and the pudding stains on the toilet bowl. And that thing needs to be scraped out. That thing needs to be scraped out.
That's why when they brush their teeth, that taste don't go away.
The taste don't go away. That's why the breath still stink. Mm. All right? I'm going to tell you something. I'm not saying my breath may not have an odor sometimes, but people like to talk about fasting breath. My breath really don't smell so bad on a fast because I take care of my mouth.
Right.
All right? I have good hygiene. All right? And I'll boast about that, because that's a good thing to be boastful about.
Right.
I have damn good hygiene. All right? Go to the dentist. Get your mouth taken care of. Having those things going on in your mouth can lead to cardiovascular disease. It can exacerbate diabetes. It leads to so many other conditions, even cognitive decline, because of the overgrowth of, of the overgrowth of bacteria that you have in there. All right. It's an exacerbated condition in your body, and it needs to be addressed. Right. Hey, right. Tongue scrapers too. But guess what? None of that's going to work until you get the doo-doo stain off the teeth.
Bang.
Right. I've said this before, I think. We even have a term for it. Right, we don't call it sugar honey iced tea mouth. We say the mouth has a fetid odor, and fetid is the technical name for doodle mouth.
Dookie
mouth.
Right.
It's called the fetid odor, and I've seen some dookie mouths in clinic with some patients. Let me tell you that I've seen some dookie mouths, man. You would think I'm doing heart surgery with the amount of blood and everything. And it's not
crazy.
That I cut you. It's just that it's the whole anatomy
the
of
gums bleeding.
Well, your body has an inflammatory response to prevent you from disease that the Most High put in there. The blood goes up to where the bacteria are through the opening of the gums. And it's not like a wound that closes. So what happens is it just keeps sending blood and white blood cells there to try to combat it. And your body's own inflammatory response now is what creates the condition of inflamed, red, shiny gums and spontaneous bleeding and things like that. And then you go to the dentist and you're bleeding and it hurts and you think he did something to you, and it's just you're in a diseased state. It's a disease.
That's crazy.
It's a disease. You got a disease. But you say it's just bad breath.
Man.
But you say it's just bad breath.
Oh, baby, you.
You got a disease.
Come on, man.
Oh, man. Y'all need to go to the dentist, all right? The hydrogen peroxide and baking soda won't do nothing if you don't scrape off the bacteria on your funky teeth.
Big facts.
That's all good after you get it out of a disease state. Who we got calling in? Who we got?
We got Brother Ephraim on the line, sir.
Brother Ephraim, all right. Shalom, Ephraim. How you doing, brother? It's been a while since you called in. What's going on?
Hey, shalom, digging most thank Christ bless. I called
you
him a couple of times, but you know, I don't want
to. You got a
feed
mouth?
Interrupt the class.
You got a feed mouth? You got a feed mouth? You go to the dentist?
No, actually, well, obviously, yeah, I go to the dentist most.
Oh, okay. I was gonna say, come on, brother.
I was gonna say, man, like what's important to me is like, for myself, is like your feet and your teeth. If those are not taken care of, like your whole body is screwed. You know what I mean?
Yes, add balls to that.
Like you were talking about that.
We're talking about the balls.
About that duty mouth. You know, actually, I went to dentist school for about a good 6 months. I think it was the UEI back in the day. And, you know, I can tell you right now, everything was cool. You know, you get hooked up, you get, you know, dental insurance, all that good stuff, you know. But then when I heard that the dental assistants had to clean up all that gunk, so every time you go to the dentist, you know, all that stuff that you spit out, all that stuff that they suck up, you know, all that bad breath that you were talking about, it stays in there, and the men have to filter that thing out and throw it out in the garbage. Well, whether you, you know, top notch or not, you're going to have to clean it out. So I was like, you know, I can't do this. I can probably be a surgeon and deal with blood, but when it comes to this, like that, it's a whole different level. And I've known brothers that have been fasting, and I tell them in person, like, look, like I know all praise from the Most High, you in the spirit, But definitely make sure you flossing, because brothers might be brushing, but they ain't flossing.
Yeah,
using that
flossing,
mouthwash.
Bro, they got water
you
picks now
I mean?
And
so
all that stuff
it's
like
a
that.
Bad thing.
Yep.
You know.
Man,
so,
I want that. Hey,
I appreciate
the call in. Giving me the testimony on that, all right? And you're right, feet,
all
mouth,
praise.
And balls, all right? Don't forget, brother.
Hey, all praise. Right. Yes, sir.
Shalom, me from. Take care, brother. Most high, Christ bless.
Christ bless.
Someone said it's hereditary. You know, to a point, it's hereditary. Like, and the hereditary part of oral health stems from the type of bacteria you may have in your mouth, because your parents are the ones that actually help colonize that, because you're the ones that are close to your kids at first.
Right.
So eventually you'll wind up getting that stuff from the house. But, you know, people talk about bad teeth and stuff like that. Nah, you got bad habits. There ain't no bad teeth. You have bad habits. Take accountability.
That's facts.
You got bad habits.
Facts.
So if your balls smell, you got bad balls. That's hereditary too. Mm. Come on, man. People need to stop. Your feet should not smell like that. Everybody has a different body odor, but a lot of that's diet dependent too.
Right.
I spoke about this before.
That's a big part of it.
Depending on what you eat and how you eat, yeah. Right? That what your body puts out. But people talk about, I got bad genes. No, you got bad habits.
Right. Feet smell.
Stop it. You got bad habits. Anyway, speaking of bad habits, promiscuous habits. Let's go back to this. I wanted to address that with the teeth. I forgot about that. Come on.
I think that's probably what the frustration was locally there. The numbers have been skyrocketing, and I think, like so many people, the public health system has been stretched, he said. Throkhead points to a larger number of healthcare workers.
No, scroll down. I want to get to the point. Hold on. No. I suggest some states. Okay, has led. Come on.
Mississippi has led the nation at some points in recent years in both gonorrhea and come close in syphilis as well.
Because they nasty. They got no morals. They got no self-respect.
That's the South, right?
That's the South.
Yeah.
Damn. You starting something?
No, I'm just.
Damn, you starting something? You know, we got a lot of people watching from the South, boy. They're going to get defensive, man.
Right.
Listen, South got something to say about gonorrhea and syphilis. Listen.
Hell no.
That comes from immoral. That comes from shamelessness.
Right.
That comes from not the foundation of marriage.
Lack of
God's all right?
laws.
It comes the lack of God laws. It comes from the prevalence. I mean, you would think that supposedly they said the answer was teaching protected sex, but people still out there unprotected sex.
While they're pregnant.
Listen, if you ain't married, you playing Russian roulette.
Mm.
I'm going to tell you that right now. You diving in boxes, you just sticking the key in the hole.
Right.
You playing Russian roulette. You playing, and if you don't know what Russian roulette is, you don't know who you're going to get from what.
Right.
All right? Come on.
Mississippi has led the nation at some points in recent years in both gonorrhea and come close in syphilis as well. But it's more of a problem, at least the congenital syphilis, particularly in the South.
The South got something to say. Come on.
particularly in the South and Southwestern United States, he said.
Come on.
Throkhead added that anyone who is pregnant and engages in risky sexual behavior should be tested.
Right. So what's he talking about here? What is that saying? You see, I read that statement, and that tells me that they hoeing around while they're pregnant.
Right.
They are hoeing around pregnant.
How'd you say it? Whore.
Whore. Whore. Bishop said it's one word, thinking Yahshua turns it into two. I tell you, because it sounds worse when you do it that way. You're a whore.
Right.
You're Sandy. You're such a whore.
Hey, Dick, where I went to college at was right on the border of Mississippi and Alabama, and this –
And the air smelled like syphilis and gonorrhea?
Yes.
Bro, do you know that when I went, where was my tech school? Wichita Falls, Texas.
Mm.
Now, Wichita, Kansas. Wichita Falls, Texas.
Damn.
It's northwest Texas, right on the border of Oklahoma.
Okay.
And the first day we went to an orientation, there was a three-hour orientation about STDs, because they said the female airmen on the base were nasty and infected, and that we should not be sleeping with them.
Dang.
Bro, they went in, bro. They went in. They had me terrified, bro.
That's crazy.
You know, like the females was coming up. They was like, hi. I was like, bye.
Right.
I was like, oh, bro. They had me shook, man. I said, what the hell is this, man? Bro, they said they nasty. They said that on the base, there was such a prevalence of STDs because of the level of promiscuity. Like I said, the whole military is full of that stuff.
No, that's
this guy's sleeping with this one's wife, with this one. Oh, it's freaking disgusting.
No, not only that, too.
He goes on deployment. He's overseas for 6 months. He's smashing his wife. Then he's there for the welcome home part. She there holding the freaking terrible.
Bro, they get married for the benefits.
It's terrible. It's terrible.
Hey, wow. they have this thing called Black Beach in Mississippi. That's where you will literally see like a bunch of pregnant sisters running around. They might, you know, they probably engaged in some type of sexual intercourse with somebody that's not the father of their baby.
Yeah, oh my goodness. Damn. Terrible. Terrible. And then they're killing these babies too by doing that stuff. Nasty.
Right.
You're right about that. Nasty, nasty stuff. All right, drop that. What else did I say? Didn't I put up some new stuff? Didn't I put up some new clips for us to go through?
Yeah, there was some Instagram.
Because I'm not going to be able to go back to the masculine and feminine today because we're almost done. But like I said, we're going to keep rocking with this for a little while. I think it's needed.
Yeah.
I think it's needed. We're going to keep rocking with this for a little while. No, that's not. I said that's for another class altogether. I didn't post no other videos. Didn't some of y'all post some good videos? Dealing with like proving and relationships and stuff like that, didn't y'all?
There was a couple in there.
Come on, man. There's so much activity in the group. I didn't have it as thoroughly.
I posted it.
Thought out because we went in a different direction with some of the other stuff, but I don't want to start on this again. Okay, you know what? We can't go with this because she says marriage, but this goes into sisters with the marriage mentality, right?
Right.
A lot of times we'll ask sisters, are they ready? Yeah, I'm ready. I'm ready. Yeah, you ready to have sex is
right.
What you're saying, mm-hmm. But you ain't ready to be a wife. Here's one of the ways you could tell if you're ready to be a wife. Listen to my scatting abuela. Done messed my whole image of her up with the scatting. Right, God's laws stop all that madness. Right, God's laws start all that madness. Remember, the scripture tells us that this place is polluted.
Right.
So it says that we got to depart from here. And there's nowhere in the world that you can go that you're not going to be influenced by the way this world is set up. So the departing is we be separate by living separate. We keep peculiar laws as a peculiar people. Right? Come on.
Sis, can I share something with you? The goal in your marriage is not for you to find someone who can help you make all of your dreams come true. The goal in your marriage is to help your husband make all of his dreams come true, which will include yours. But too many women go into marriage with this ideal is I have this going on and this going on, and if he doesn't want to go along with it, well, he clearly doesn't want to be my husband, or he clearly doesn't support me. It's not that he does not support you, but you can have two different visions and two different goals going in opposite direction and think your marriage is going to work. You need to be able to find someone or someone finds you that is willing to let you know that this is where we're going. This is where I'm going. Can you go with me? And if you decide to say yes, you cannot later on change your mind and say, well, you know what? I got all these other things going on, so I need you to come go this way. That's not how it works. You need to find someone that is on the same page, and that page is the page that has been written through God to him first, and you secondary.
Oh,
damn.
That today and carry on.
My goodness, I forgive her for her scatting. listen up.
Hey, now put up the other picture that I just tagged you, that I just commented on.
Yeah, I have a picture too that I gotta put there.
Put
too.
That picture.
Listen,
no,
Linda, Linda, listen.
That one.
Oh, wait, right. Hold on. I got another one I'm going to send,
right,
too.
It goes with this one, but go ahead.
Wait. Before you, no, but don't show that one first.
Okay.
One first. And then we're going to go into these
Woo!
Other ones. Bro, I followed the hell out of her, bro. She on point, bro.
Yeah, man.
She's
hey,
D, tight
you got
as
her
doing
popping
it.
Up on my algorithms.
Hey, oh, my goodness. We give her some shine. Don't listen to her white Jesus stuff, but everything else she's saying is on point.
Yeah.
Oh, man. So check this out, sisters.
We're back on you.
Sisters.
Problems.
If you're triggered, because that's any of the stuff that's coming out, if you're triggered by it, if you're triggered because what's really coming out is being advised to honor God's words by submitting to your husband, you may be the problem.
Bombs.
You may, I know, no bombs. They're freaking like bugged out there, bro. The single brothers are like, damn, I don't think I'm, if this is the case with marriage, brothers is out there. It's
right.
Better. They out there.
Better not to marry.
Better not to marry. Oh, my goodness. This sister going to need some protection. Listen, what she's talking about in that video we just saw where she says your goals are his goals. Mm. That's a level of submitting that a lot of you don't realize is required of God.
Damn.
And what she said is that if you roll with that, your things will be fulfilled as well.
Right.
But through his directives.
Right.
Hey, sis, come in and say triggered.
Oh, man. Triggered.
Hey, she's like twitching. Her eyes twitching right now.
Linda, listen. We got to run her back again before we go to the picture. Play that clip again.
That was nice.
Play that again. Listen. This ain't fix your face, but we trying to fix marriages.
That's
all right?
Right.
We trying to fix proven, okay? And if that means you got to fix your face, you got to fix your face. All right? Run my sister back. Listen again. Come on.
Sis, can I share something with you? The goal in your marriage is not for you to find someone who can help you make all of your dreams come true. The goal in your marriage is to help your husband make all of his dreams come true, which will include yours. But too many women go into marriage with this ideal is that I have this going on and this going on, and if he doesn't want to go along with it, well, he clearly doesn't want to be my husband, or he clearly doesn't support me. It's not that he does not support you, but you can have two different visions and two different goals going in opposite direction and think your marriage is going to work. You need to be able to find someone, or someone finds you, that is willing to let you know that this is where we're going. This is where I'm going. Can you go with me? And if you decide to say yes, you cannot later on change your mind and say, well, you know what? I got all these other things going on, so I need you to come go this way. That's not how it works. You need to find someone that is on the same page, and that page is the page that has been written through God to him first, and you secondary. Remember that today, and carry on.
Let me tell you something. Is it in everything? 22 and 23? No, there's one that says everything. That one says it's unto the Lord.
I think it's Colossians.
Oh, it's in 20, verse 24. Okay.
In
24. Yeah, we are going to do Ephesians 5.
Yeah.
Let me tell you what sis is saying here, all right? And let me tell you, this may seem like it's a salvo at sisters, right? This is also for brothers' awareness in that proving process.
Right.
This is the type of discussions you need to be having, brothers, with these sisters. And sisters, when you say that you're ready to prove and you're ready for a spouse, you're saying that you got a mind for a lot of these things that we brought out.
Is that this is the path of getting your future wife built into a woman after thy mind?
Yes. Yeah.
That's,
right. Mm. Right.
And like the image that you had earlier says about
is
Genesis.
He triggered?
No.
Oh, about a man leaves.
It says a man, and then man was maturity. He knows
yeah.
what he wants. He knows
right.
what he likes.
Yes.
He knows what's his goals.
Yes.
So then now, once you start proving. She'll have your mindset, like the scripture says. She'll have a like mind like you.
Right, right. So it says her desires unto you, right? And it says like a spouse that basically have the mind of a Lord. Mm-hmm. And what this is saying is that, brothers, you have a heavy burden, and this goes back into all those facets of self-improvement, of making your mind like the mind of Christ to be able to lead and guide this woman the way you need to do it,
right?
Right. You need to be able to focus on that. What's so funny? What are you talking about?
So he said, "My wife wants to be a baby mama. We're getting a divorce, bruh.
Baby mama, we're getting a divorce." But listen, this is what she's really saying when she says it's God's words. This is the way. We put the other picture up again. This is what's being said. Mm-hmm. Don't be mad about this. No, not that one about triggered. Come on. Okay, go ahead. Put that one.
If you're triggered by being advised to honor God's word by submitting to your husband, you may be the problem.
Right. So let's read Ephesians 5.
The book of Ephesians, chapter 5, verse 22. Wives,
submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord.
It says submit yourself unto your own husbands as unto the Lord, meaning he represents the Lord in that house, all right? He's the embodiment, the stature of Christ, and the same way you would submit to Christ is how you need to submit to him. And that goes into every aspect. Jump to verse 24.
Verse 24, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything.
In everything. So when she says that your goals are secondary, mm-hmm. what she's saying is that you believe there's a God. And the things that you want, if they're of the Lord, they're going to be fostered through your husband leading that household, right? Read that in verse 23. Come on.
Verse 23, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body.
You have to start seeing it that way and get these pollutions out your mind. So sisters, when you're going into that proving process, you have to understand these aspects of it. You know, there was another one. I'm going to look for it because we're not going to have time today. I want to show the two pictures that we put up.
The video?
No. There was another one that speaks about sisters that try to say that, Sarah called him Lord, but you're not an Abraham.
Oh.
Right,
there's
right.
something for that too. But no, put the picture, the 10%.
How would you know?
Right? Yeah, that's right. I think I had posted this one, right? Let's read that.
In marriage, probably 10% of conflicts are actually due to a difference in opinion.
Right. So, and this is especially true of sisters. I'm going to tell you this of sisters, all right? It says, you know, it's just a number. It says in marriage, probably 10% of conflicts are actually due to a difference in opinion, meaning that there's a real issue there that you need to get resolved, right? Come on, what's the other 90%?
And 90% are due to someone using the wrong tone of voice.
Tone. Watch your tone. A lot of times the conflicts are 90% someone using the wrong voice. And guess who's going to use the wrong tone of voice, sisters, if you got to be in subjection? It's you. Give me that in Peter. Where it talks about they meet one by the chase conversation. All right? Come on, let's read that. And then we got, what's the other picture? Let me see it.
I got you.
Well, he reads that. What's the other picture? There was another picture.
Right? Got it?
Yeah, I got it. The book of 1 Peter, chapter 3 and verse 2. Verse 1. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives.
Right. And a lot of times we bring that out and we talk about if you're married to an unbelieving spouse. But you can have moments where maybe your husband, maybe he is out the spirit.
Right.
But your tone of voice isn't there to correct them, right? No, that's not it. That's not it. There was another picture that you guys put up. Go ahead. Read this again. I'm sorry.
From the top.
Yeah.
Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husband.
So be in subjection to your own husband. Come on.
That if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives.
Right. It says you can win the man over by your conversation. All right. By the conversation of the wives. We gave the tone of voice thing. You'll have less conflict if your tone of voice was correct.
Right.
Come on. Read on.
While they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear.
Right. So it says, why? They'll behold it because they're not scared of you. They're going to realize that if they are out the spirit, if there's something off, that they need to follow what God says. All right. But the point here is it says that chaste conversation.
Hey, that, what is that? Proverbs 15?
Which one are you talking about?
A soft answer. Turn it the way around.
Get me that one and get me, is it Proverbs, is it 25 or 28 where it talks about apples of gold and pictures of silver?
Yes.
A word fitly framed. I'm going to show you what chase conversation is, right?
Which one
yeah, I
first?
Think this was the other picture. Let me see this while you guys look for that.
Which one do you want first?
Give the apples of silver one first.
I got it. You get posted.
Oh, yeah. But let's read this one. There's another one. Okay, put this one up.
Reality check. Wives, many of the problems in your marriage are because of the disrespectful way you speak to your husband. He's just given up trying to get you to see it.
Right. And this goes for married couples as well, but this also goes for you getting into that, all right? You have to understand you cannot, because you're going to have a nice respectful tone all throughout the representative stage.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be all right, especially if you don't take long enough to prove, right? But there's going to come a time where there's going to be conflict. And Can you stop moving it? I wanted it back. Yes, it says, many of the problems are because of the disrespectful way that you speak to your husband. And what happens is you wind up, there's another video. I don't know if I put it up or you don't have to look for it now because we're coming to a close on the show. Maybe remind me for next week. And it says, a man will give you the version of himself that he needs to survive. And what'll wind up happening is you know, if you got a quality man, he'll try to work with you on those issues, especially the disrespectful tone and things like that. But he will get to a point where he's not going to get you to try to see it anymore. Mm-hmm. And he'll give you a version of himself where he can have peace in his household and some measure of harmony, and he's not going to really care to kind of – you know, move forward with trying to work with you to correct you anymore.
That's that intimacy out the window.
Right. And then the intimacy will suffer because of that. And I don't mean just sex, because, you know, you still might be able to have sexual relations, but the intimate relationship that you're supposed to have where you're able to kind of speak to each other and, you know, have that vulnerability with each other, he's not going to give that to you anymore. Mm-hmm. Because a man should be able to be, and when I say vulnerable, I don't mean weak. Vulnerable is actually strong, because it shows that you can entrust somebody to see sides of you and say things to them.
Paul was vulnerable throughout the Corinthians.
Yes.
He always was vulnerable. But
yes.
At the same time, he knew how to use
right
that for
right.
edification.
So, you know, a man should be able to be vulnerable with his wife. And I don't mean be a little bee.
Right.
But it means that you should be able to take off the armor,
right,
so to speak, around your wife. And when he's given up trying to get you to see the disrespectfulness that you have and those things like that, what's going to wind up happening is you're going to get a version of him that's going to allow him to survive there and have a measure of peace without disrupting things, so that, you know, he can continue on in that way. All right. But sisters, let me show you what Chase conversation is. Let's read this Apples of Gold, and then we'll get the other one about a soft answer, turn off away wrath.
Proverbs chapter 25, verse 11. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures.
Right.
Of silver.
So a word fitly spoken, meaning the tone matters in how you say stuff, especially, and don't give me this 50-50 stuff when you say, well, look at the way you talk to me. Mm. If he ain't name calling you and stuff like that, all right, he ain't being abusive, in emotionally abusive, verbally abusive, all right? Listen, you wanted a lion, you got a lion, you got a man, and men are going to speak a certain way. Don't get me started on how some brothers can't even deal with when a man speaks to them like a man. Mm-hmm. Right? And sometimes a manly tone, a tone, an emotional tone, it seems like the default from childhood up is, well, you're shouting at me. I'm actually not shouting at all. Would you like me to show you shouting? Because I could show you shouting.
Mm. Yeah.
Right? Don't try to tell me. Don't tell them to calm down. That's not a word fitly spoken. We're going to show you what the key is. Right? After we finish this verse and how you deal with them. It says, a word fitly spoken, read it,
is like apples of gold in pictures of a silver.
Meaning it's pleasing. It's beautiful. Mm. Can you see golden apples in a silver frame?
You know what's heavy? It said, why they behold your chaste conversation. That means they're having to observe, just like they're observing the apples of gold in pictures of silver.
It means that in this chaste conversation is how you're going to get him to listen to you.
Right.
Because you say, he's not listening to me. He's not. Are you right? I'm not going to listen to you. I'm giving you the version that I need to survive.
Right.
But if you want me to listen, then the word needs to be fitly spoken.
Right.
Come on, read on.
As an earring of gold, an ornament of fine gold.
But this is an ornament of a woman, right? And it's not an ornament of the physical. He's using the physical earring, right? Because that goes into the woman, and right, and she'll dress herself up. It's not the outward plating, mm-hmm, right, like you read. Is the inward. Go ahead, come on.
So is a wise reprover upon an obedient ear.
Right, so it means if there's something you want to get through to that person, this is chaste conversation. And guess what? If he is angry, the scripture tells you this. Come on.
The book of Proverbs, chapter 15 and verse 1. A soft answer turneth away wrath.
Right? A soft answer turneth away wrath. That's God's word. And some sisters don't want to do that. They want to give that same energy back. They want to, you know,
mm-hmm,
trust me, if you come back with a soft answer, all right, somebody's going to see that they raised up unless there's, you know, there's outliers. Right? I'm not talking about the outliers where you might have that type of lying in the house, abusive type of person, right? Because abuse doesn't just have to be physical, right? But you will get so much further along in things based on how you speak with them. All right. Go ahead. What you got?
I got – pull up those comments. Are we closing up?
Yeah, we're closing up. Okay. We over.
But I wanted to show you these – I mean, we never brought them out. And
oh,
these
that's
are
right.
good comments.
Uh-huh.
So this is the first one. I hate a dude who knows his worth.
This was one of the comments for one of the shows where we went on some of these topics, all right?
What you mean you're not dealing with my BS?
Sister says she hate a dude that know his worth. Come on.
Go to the next one.
I'm going to send a couple two to you guys.
20 years married to the same woman, and I am now understanding more than I have ever. Go back.
So, right, these are definitely important topics because look at some of the feedback we're getting.
Right, now yep. going back to the important topic. 20 years married to the same woman, and I am now understanding more than I have ever, that ever had.
20 years married to the same woman, and I am now understanding more than I ever have, that I still have a lot to understand when it comes to marriage. All praises, Deacon Yahshua, fire.
So all praises to the Most High. People doing that. I sent a couple for you, too.
Get the next one. There's one more. Look at this one.
I might become a eunuch for God and Christ.
Damn, because the stuff, bro, that's the Matthew 19. The brother say, he's like, yo, the stuff coming out on how we really need to properly roll.
If this is the way it is,
marriage,
it's not good for a man to marry.
He said it's not good for a man to
marry. He said for real. He said for
real.
And
there ain't
no.
nothing wrong with that. You know what I'm saying? You don't have to marry.
Right.
You don't have to marry. But don't whoremonger either.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But you don't have to marry. You be dedicated to God. Go ahead. I put up two more. Let's read. Put the negative one first. Right. Go ahead.
Are you damn serious? The Lord asking for papers? You let that coon Nathaniel lead you to lies. But I guess Proverbs 29 is true.
All right. So whatever.
Come
so,
on, man.
And you're saying this is not an important topic? Sisters, right. There are men like that lurking out there.
Right.
But they don't want to give you papers. They don't want to. Remember when we read in Tobit where it says they're committed to you of special trust. Don't entreat her evil.
Right.
A man that don't want to do the marriage papers. He got some other ill type of intent.
Something behind his sleeve.
Something behind that stuff, right? Mm. So it's needed because you got knuckleheads like this. Scratch that. And then look, it's not all negative feedback.
Right.
Read this.
Thank you so much for the lesson. I have never heard or been taught the ways of proving a friend. It was destined for me to hear and understand this class. Thank you, for I am desperately working to change the error of my ways. Thank you again. Shalom, brothers and sisters.
And I pray she's sincere and she repents and she picked this type of thing up. So there's a lot of stuff. I mean, this is needful for the body. It's needful for the building of a strong
yeah,
nation.
Right.
This is what I said at one point in the show. I think some of this stuff is a little more nuanced. And we do save the major platforms for kind of broader views.
Mm-hmm.
But to get real granular, like, it's necessary.
A lot of us grew up in single-parent households. That's why it says be a father to the fatherless. Like,
mm-hmm.
we need these things because yes. a lot of us have not been taught these things.
Or our parents were the mind of our oppressors, too, and
That's
we were
it.
Taught the
yep.
Willie Lynch cycle.
Right.
So this is the first time we're getting that clean glass of water for many of us.
That's
and, you know, and it's not to say that our parents may have been bad. I mean, I think I've said before, I talk about my mom and some of her ways, but I also gave her props for how she dealt with me,
mm-hmm.
you know, like the – some of the stuff that she did, like as a child, I was like, damn, why is she like this? But in hindsight, I'm grateful for it.
Right.
You know, because I'm better for it. So, you know, it's definitely, you know, I just want you to know we do see the positive comments, you know.
Yeah.
But y'all like drama, so we like to talk about the negative ones.
It's provocative.
It's provocative.
It gets the people going.
It gets the people going. Anyway, y'all, if y'all have not subscribed to IUIC Phoenix, please go ahead on YouTube and like and subscribe to that. All right, we're still trying to get that to grow. All our socials, you see them down there on the lower third of the show. Do not forget to donate to the Booster Club. All right, we got some trips coming up. That we're trying to get out there to continue to spread this gospel and spread this word. And we'll continue on with this topic. Like I said, there's still so much that I've not gotten out. There's a lot that we want to continue to discuss. And don't be shy. Y'all want to call in. You got comments on this stuff
yeah.
or whatever. Let's get some engagement, all right? The number also – don't call now because we're wrapping up. But engage in the show, all right? And let's get with it, all right? Don't forget we have the Facebook – it's Spanish?
Yes, Spanish this week.
Okay, it's Spanish this week. If you're so inclined, Laura de Poder. Facebook at the Laws 144K, 11 a.m. Arizona time, exclusively on Facebook. Laws Will, Life Last. We will be on next week. We'll continue on with the series on self-improvement, relationships, marriage, all this stuff. We even went into parenting today a little bit.
More fire.
All right. Things that are needful for the nation. All right. So I pray that y'all have been edified and be stay safe out there. Yo, oh, we got Destruction of Nicanor.
Yes.
Starts Friday night.
Yep.
Purim is two nights of festivities. It's Saturday night and Sunday night. They are not Sabbaths. All right. Although you must observe the weekly. All right. For those of you who may not be aware. So even though Nicanor is not commanded to be kept like a Sabbath, it falls on the weekly and that supersedes it. So no cooking. All right. No buying or selling. You keep the regular Sabbath laws. But for Purim, you good. All right. It's just we make sure that we feast. All right. That mighty victory. So what were you going to say? Somebody said something?
No. Drea, I will send you the email right now. You can contact us for the school's location here in Phoenix.
Okay.
I'm sorry. With the subscribers for YouTube, we're only 310 subscribers away. Help us out. IUIC Phoenix YouTube page, we're almost there.
Right. So we have 620 watching now. I think we had 700 at one point. If those of y'all who are watching now, if half of y'all, if you haven't subscribed to IUIC Phoenix, y'all could help us reach our 15,000 tonight. All right. If you go over to IUIC Phoenix on YouTube and like and subscribe. All right. So help us out.
And Booster Club. The Booster Club.
I said that.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay.
I was trying to.
All right. You got nowhere to go? You're working days now?
I'm working days.
Yeah, I want to go home and go to sleep. I'm tired.
Let's go. I am tired too.
Shalom, everybody. Be well. Most High Christ bless you.
5 hours
Shalom.
A day. Shalom.
This for the Southern Kingdom, Kwan Yasharala.
Hey, one nation, one nation.
This for the Northern Kingdom, Viva La Rasa.
We one nation, one nation.
This for the Southern Kingdom, Kwame Asharala.
Hey, one nation, one nation.
This for the Northern Kingdom, Viva La Rasa.
We one nation, one nation.
It wouldn't be Israel without Mexicans. Black love, brown pride, cause we next to kin. We ain't gotta tell Esau to let's be friends, cause we above all nations and we better than them. We the salt of the earth, ay, ay. And we been king since birth, ay, ay. We put the kingdom first, ay, ay. And they gon' get this work, ay, ay. We was chosen, not cause we the most of the people. Few in numbers, but we over the people. We gods of this earth, we ain't supposed to be equal. Stop playing, you emotional. The people, the good, gotta triumph over the evil. So my foot's on the throat of the eagle. Their tongues will confess that we the people. Cause my nation ain't never been feeble. For the Southern Kingdom, Kwame Asharala.
Hey, one nation, one nation.
This for the Northern Kingdom, Viva La Rasa.
We